about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
When people talk about homosexuality, they often ask, is it a choice?
I heard it is.
Hello, what's your name?
Christian.
Well, Christian, let's see what the latest science has to say.
Oh, that.
To help us, here are two gay people.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hello, everyone. I'm Brandy Max.
Hi, Brandy.
Star of such films as The Incredible Burt Wonderbone, A Good Guy to Lay Hard, and Argo. I had a small part in Argo, as well as the porn version, Our Goo.
I've seen the first 90 seconds. It's thrilling.
I'm sorry, look, if you love something, yeah, let it go. And if it doesn't return to you, it was probably eaten by a coyote.
And now, are we supposed to laugh at that? Because it's upsetting.
Our feature presentation.
Another try in front, kick loose side of the net, and the horn sounds. The Los Angeles Kings have won the game 3-0 and are ahead in the series 3-0. The ninth career shutout for Jonathan Quick and his second career shutout in the finals.
That's pretty low, isn't it?
It's very low, but...
Oh, there you go.
We have our own red...
Gold light.
Yeah, that's very cool.
This
sounds like a train.
I will guarantee,
it does.
I will guarantee you all that this will not be annoying.
Kevin, you're absolutely right. I believe the Kings will sweep to take the Stanley Cup. Definitely going to sweep. I'm glad you said that. Say it again. Want to hear you say it. They're going to sweep. 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 They're going to sweep and be Stanley Cup champions. Bye.
F That's you. What Kevin said. Kevin guaranteed it.
Yep. F you. I would never say that. You all know that.
Mm-hmm. Kevin said there's no way at this point that they can lose even a game.
Kevin has never said something that stupid.
Oh, Kevin has often said things
okay.
that
all
stupid.
Right.
Come
right.
on. Yeah, it wasn't even close last night. The Rangers were never in it.
Yeah, I know.
All right, that's a train. That's not a goal. That's
that
a train.
That is the horn that blows. That's the specific horn.
Right, I know that's what it's supposed to be, but it's not what it is.
All right.
I bet you can find a better sound effect.
And now you can't turn off the red light. Nope, that's not going to be annoying.
Nope.
All morning long.
Morning, everybody.
It's enormous.
Brand new. Kevin. Yep, that's what she said.
Uh-huh.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 10th of June.
It is indeed. You know, you're at the mercy of your doctor, pretty much, when you go in. Your doctor has a lot of power over what happens to you, especially
yeah.
in surgery. And you know my biggest fear of all the things to be afraid of in the world is something going wrong with the anesthesia. We've talked about that on the show before.
Sure.
I'm terrified of being one of those guys who's in the anesthesia, and it half works, meaning that I'm paralyzed. But the other half doesn't work, meaning that I can still feel everything that's being done to me. It's my greatest nightmare.
What the? I wonder what the percentages are of that.
I mean, it happens quite infrequently, but it happens to somebody every year.
We've taken calls.
Right.
Yes.
But then what I'm saying, yeah, I know. But then
when you look at the number
of people that use anesthesia, it's
yeah, it's,
sure, it's
extremely
very
unlikely.
It's a lot less likely than getting shot walking past a scene.
All right,
the
we'll talk about that later.
Guns drawn.
We'll talk about that later. But the reason I bring up anesthesiology is at least if you're going in for surgery, you want the anesthesiologist to really be on that, right? Like really be paying attention to the levels that are going into you and to make sure that it's effective. It's monitoring your, you know, monitoring your vital signs and making sure that the anesthesia is effing working, right? That's what you want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I say all that to say this, and it's a big story here in Seattle today. Dr. Arthur Zilberstein has just had his medical license suspended. He is an anesthesiologist. He has been charged for multiple violations by the Washington State Department of Health, including 23 incidents in which he was sexting during surgery.
Oh!
Exchanging personal and often sexually explicit text messages during procedures in which he was the responsible anesthesiologist. Department of Health spokesperson said, of course, he's supposed to be focusing on the patient during surgery. He would text things like, I'm hella busy with a C-section right now, to his girlfriend. Here's one example from the statement filed against Dr. Zilberstein. In a text message 1 minute before patient T's July 24th, 2013 surgery at 2:33 p.m., respondent texted to his girlfriend a description of his immediate sexual desire for her.
Ah.
Respondent was the responsible anesthesiologist for patient Z between 2:34 and 3:33 p.m. Respondent exchanged 15 additional text messages during that surgery and between 3:11 and 3:31 to arrange a covert encounter with his girlfriend at the hospital. Six of the text messages were initiated by the respondent. So he's not just answering an important text message. He's basically just killing time while this patient is having a C-section. During a procedure on August 6th, Zilberstein is accused of exchanging 45 sex messages, 21 initiated by him. He's also accused of having sex at the hospital with a patient. He also sent another patient a selfie of himself in scrubs with his badge showing and his genitals exposed, and added to that text, "Oh, and a doctor walked in as I was pulling up my scrubs. I'm pretty sure he caught me." He was also accused of accessing a patient's medical records, not for medical purposes, but in order to view images of the patient for his own sexual gratification.
USA! USA!
Accused of improperly prescribing medication, including painkillers such as oxycodone and hydrocodone. It just goes on and on and on. This isn't what you want in your anesthesiologist, right?
It's not, but I've also been in that situation a lot. And
were your doctors sexting during surgery?
No, but I would guess the anesthesiologist is super bored. I mean, mm-hmm. you're hooked up to a machine.
And you're just looking at
he can tell if you're breathing properly, that he's got different kinds of things that'll give him a heads up. That's probably boring.
But isn't that your job?
Yes, just
to sit there and look at it, even if it's boring. Look, it's boring to watch security cameras, but if that's your job, you watch security cameras. That's what you do.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't want my guy sexting.
And by the way, I wonder if this hadn't been sexting and he hadn't brought himself down with all the other boneheaded things like the genital selfies. I wonder if it had just been regular texting with friends, if he would have even gotten in trouble for it. I wonder if that's allowed,
I
don't know.
I can't imagine
it is. I don't think any of that's allowed.
Yeah, I don't think.
At all.
I can't imagine it is, just from a lawsuit standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fact that it's sexting is worse.
It does make it worse for him, yeah. So he has lost his medical license, and I will never have surgery again.
USA! USA! USA!
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, you are so annoying. How do you not just punch yourself in the face?
Comedian Rob Delaney will be here.
Oh, he's the
best. What I'm talking about.
He's the best.
Yeah.
He's the hairiest.
He is the hairiest.
That too.
And he loves the fat, hairy women as well. I can't get that out of my head from when he did April Foolishness. You ignore danger is the phone topic, and that is what I was just referring to a second ago. We'll explain it to you next hour, but Bean walked through an active crime scene and just figured, odds are pretty good.
And you don't mean, when you say active crime scene, you don't mean like active investigation into something that just happened.
No, active crime.
You mean things are happening.
Guns were pulled.
Yeah.
And
you just strolled through.
And that did not dissuade Bean from his path.
I was trying to get to my car.
Which is insane, considering he's afraid of anesthesiology, which he does what?
Never.
Once every 10 years. So anyway, we'll talk about that. We got Petros Papadakis coming in to talk about all things sports. And we have Jenny Slate in the studio.
Oh, she's funny.
Love her.
Yeah.
She is awesome. So that's coming up this morning as well. And we have your tickets to see Jack White. So we will give those away. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday morning. Rob is off today. We're taking a look at the showbiz beat. We had those guys in from Inside Gaming on Machinima yesterday talking about how boring those press conferences are that they have all day yesterday for E3.
Right.
Apparently Microsoft's was not boring. A lot of people very excited about the announcements that they made. Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming out this fall on PlayStation 4, also with Xbox One and PC releases. They also announced yesterday they are re-releasing 4 Halo games as part of a 10th anniversary celebration. It's called Halo the Master Chef Collection, coming out this fall, updated specifically for Xbox One. So to answer your question you asked the guys yesterday, Kevin, yes, you are going to have to get an Xbox One.
Wait, you said Halo is coming, they have a Master Chef Collection? What?
Master Chief, I'm sorry, Master Chief.
Oh, okay. I was like, sorry. At what point did they start
that
cooking?
Wrong. Okay, no, good. It's the Master Chief. That makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
Apparently, it's going to on the Xbox One, it's going to play at 60 frames per second, by the way, which is going to be amazing. They also announced they are packaging the game's first live-action series called Halo Nightfall, produced by Ridley Scott, along with the Master Chief Collection. So if you're a Halo fan... You know, Microsoft has had some struggles over the past couple of years, a little bit of missteps, but it sounds like they are back in the game with all this GTA news because obviously people love that game.
One Direction has announced that they are releasing yet another fragrance. It's a new YouTube video where Liam, apparently is one of them, says the entire band has, quote, worked really hard on the new fragrance. Comes out later this summer.
I'd love to see what that looked like.
Too. I mean, isn't this one of those...
No.
Okay, fine.
Donkey ass.
Oh, I like that one. Okay.
Though you get the idea that somebody else comes up with some random scent, and then you slap your name on it, and it does make, I mean, for successful scents, it does make $100 million sometimes.
Yeah. You can't fault them for doing it.
I mean, I guess if you're a 16-year-old girl and you love One Direction, you just want everything with their name on it, but I mean, I don't get it. Why you would ever buy a perfume based on a boy band. I just don't get that. I also don't get this. The David Beckham collection from Belstaff makes its debut today. That's his thing now, right, Kevin? Is he's a fashion designer?
Sure.
One of his many things that he's doing?
Sure.
Isn't he also either
an MLS team?
Yeah, he owns one, right?
Yeah. I think in Miami.
So he's doing that as well. He is also the face of the Belstaff 2014 global ad campaign. Listen to this, by the way. The collection, quote, is a reflection of what I wear day to day when I'm biking or relaxing. $95 for a t-shirt.
Wow.
$395 for pants. $695 for boots. And $1,950 for a leather jacket.
What?
That's what he wears day to day when he's biking or relaxing.
All right, let's go to the opposite direction of that and talk about Matthew McConaughey. He's adding, quote, Saturday clothes to his clothing line.
He has a clothing line too?
Which begs the question, he has a clothing line?
Who knew?
No idea.
It's a menswear label called Just Keep Living.
Of course it is.
He says in the Los Angeles Times that his Saturday clothes are, quote, what you're most comfortable in, period. Flip-flops. I mean, I would rather wear than be barefoot baggy cargo shorts. So basically, he has a line of clothes that is me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dresses just like us.
And he's making probably millions of dollars on it, and we're just looking like hobos. So
I'm going to be very disappointed if Matthew McConaughey includes any shirts in his clothing line, by the way. Because that clearly he's not wearing them, right? It is Tuesday. That means today is the day for new releases available for download and on DVD and on CD. A couple of really good movies out today, including Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit. That was the Chris Pine one with Kevin Costner and Keira Knightley. Nonstop, the Liam Neeson, Julianne Moore movie, is also available today. Devil's Knot with Colin Firth and Reese Witherspoon, also out today. Also on TV shows on DVD, True Detective, which I missed, speaking of Matthew McConaughey, which I missed first time around.
Oh,
now's
so
my chance
good.
To go back and catch up. I know. Everyone was watching it. Everyone was talking about it. I just, you know, those Sunday nights were ridiculous when it was on, and I just didn't get to it. Ray Donovan, season one, also available for purchase today. Resurrection, a show I really liked with Omar Epps. That's also out today. The complete fourth season of Rizzoli and Isles as well. Music today, of course, the big release. Our friend Jack White coming out with his album, Lazaretto. That is available everywhere today. So excited about that. Of course, our Breakfast with Jack White is going to be Thursday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the band First Aid Kit has their new album, Stay Gold. I love that band. And Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders, her first ever solo album.
Oh, wow.
What, 35 years into her career, no Pretenders. It's called Stockholm. That's also available today.
Lil Kim has a little girl. The little girl's name is Royal Reign. R-E-I-G-N.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And the father is probably rapper Mr. Papers.
I just wanted to do that story
so I could give all of those names.
Mr. Papers.
First of all, Little Kim being a mom should scare the hell out of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the kid's name, Royal Rain, dad, Mr. Papers.
That's real talk right there,
that
man.
That is right there.
If he's really the father, but right. Who will ever know? Some of our very favorite people celebrating their birthdays today. I mean that. Friend of the show, Bill Burr, one of the greatest stand-up comedians in the world today, turns 46 years old today. Our friend DJ Qualls from the unfairly canceled Legit Show turns 36 years old today. A model named Kate Upton, it says here, is her name. Are you familiar with her at all, Kevin? Because you never tweet about her. Kevin, you be all right? He is not using his hands, by the way. By the way, it seems like she's been famous forever.
Don't interrupt the hockey goal.
She's only 22 today,
really?
Kate Upton.
Oh,
22
really?
Years old today. Actor Shane West turns 36 years old today, and a couple of hotties. Gina Gershon is 52, and Elizabeth Hurley, 49, and that's the showbiz.
That is a band we should get on one of our shows.
That'd be cool.
You know what I mean? Congos? That sounds like a good time party song right there.
I believe they just played the Carolina
Roast. Seems like it would be good for an outdoor festival of some
couple
type.
Of weeks ago, I think. We just played. We just had them. We interviewed
really
them. Remember,
like
they performed.
That would be a good idea. I don't know why no one pays attention.
Oh, Gilligan! Hey, Tuesday morning here on the Kevin Devine Show. Got more tickets for you to go see Jack White. That is going to be, I want to say, tomorrow night at the Fonda. Tickets are completely sold out, but you can win them this morning here on K-Rock. And our friend Petrith Papadakis is going to be here, too. People are still talking about the Belmont Stakes, not just because the Triple Crown win was not achieved, but because the cranky owner after the race threw quite a temper tantrum.
He was
on
awesome.
The TV.
Here's the thing. I went back and tried to watch the Kings game, mm-hmm. and the first half of it was the end of the Belmont Stakes. Now, I'm sorry. I sure don't
care
about
it. Well, you hate horse racing.
I don't hate it, but that was – and then I went back and checked. They had 3 hours of coverage, and the actual race with the horse, California Chrome, was a minute.
Yeah. That is true.
So I can't imagine how they filled all that time. But the owner, after their horse didn't win, the owner was very upset. And I
He's
very
love disappointed. That. He had the chance to win the Triple Crown, and he didn't. So he was understandably upset. But I think even he acknowledges that maybe he took it out on the wrong people, like the people who, you know, who own Tonalist that won the race.
Let's be honest, though. When you go do that post-race interview, you're sort of hoping a little for that, aren't you? I mean,
oh, we are. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure NBC was delighted with it. Yeah.
So they have the race, the horse race, and apparently the deal is that you cannot race in the Kentucky Derby and whatever the other one is.
Preakness,
and still get into this one. So yeah. Some of the horses were a little fresher than
right.
The other.
No, but no one is. I know we're gonna hear from the owner here in a second. But no one is guaranteed to win a Triple Crown. You can enter whichever races you want, and you don't have to race in any of them if you don't want to, or you can race in all of them if you want to. It's pretty much your choice. There's no guarantee you get the win the Triple Crown.
No, of course not. But
I mean, it's hard. It's supposed to be hard,
right? But what he was saying when he went on his rant, which I did thoroughly enjoy. Because it was so uncomfortable, and his wife kept poking him in the back, and he's like, no, I need to say this. I need to get this off my chest. Is that, you know, if you have a race that is a horse that is racing in all three races,
mm-hmm.
and there are a bunch of other horses that skip the first two, and they're a lot
right.
of pressure.
Well, of course.
That does seem unfair.
Don't expect to win it then. If you're going to bring a horse to the race that has been racing a lot and is going to be more tired than other horses that are in the race, then don't enter him if you don't want to try to win that race.
Yeah, I don't really care, but what he said made sense to me.
I mean,
well,
by the way, it's
get
also
his point because
it's all look. I get his point. He's disappointed because he doesn't think it was a level playing field. But there's no guarantee. There shouldn't be a guarantee that it's a level playing field. It's been this way for over 100 years. These races. Why change it now to make it easier to win the Triple Crown? It's hard to win the Triple Crown, and that's okay.
Right, but it seems to me on the fair level that it should have been happening this way all along. It's because a horse should have to race all three if you're going to win all three. That makes sense to me.
Makes no sense. That's it all to me.
However, I sure don't care. But the owner certainly was very, very upset after the race, and he wanted to let people know. And this is his post-race interview.
Throughout it all, Steve, it's been an amazing ride. What were your thoughts as they turned for home?
Well, I thought he was gaining ground, but
He didn't have it in him, apparently. You know what? He's been in three. This is his third very big race. These other horses, they always set them out. They set them out and try to upset the apple cart. I'll never see. I'm 61 years old, and I'll never see in my lifetime, I'll never see another Triple Crown winner because the way they do this.
All right. So right there, you're starting to go, oh, this guy's going off the rails. I love
He's angry. And by the way, these other horses weren't trying to win the Triple Crown. They were just trying to win the Belmont Stakes. Are you not allowed to just enter a horse into the Belmont Stakes to try to win that race if that's what you want to do?
I don't know. Look, honestly, I don't care because it's horse racing. But what he's saying makes sense to me. It seems like if you're – it seems like it would be an even playing field. And it's not an even playing field. Is that why you're saying it's harder to do because it's not an even playing field?
No, I'm saying they're individual races.
Right.
Nobody ever has to try to win the Triple Crown if you don't want to. If you want to, these are the races that you have to win, though.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right, so now he says, you know, you shouldn't be able to sit out a horse. And then he keeps going.
It's not fair to these horses that have been in the game since day one. I look at it this way. If you can't make enough points to get in the Kentucky Derby, you can't run in the other two races.
So if you had your way, you would say you got to run the Triple Crown or you cannot come up in the Belmont and be a fresh horse.
That's right. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Because this is not fair to these horses that have been running their guts out for these people and for the people that believe in them. For have somebody to come up like, this is a coward's way out, in my opinion. This is a coward's way out.
Yeah!
By the way, that's when I get a horse. When I own a horse, it's going to be called Coward's Way Out. That's going to be the name of the horse.
Now he's attacking people personally, and I love it.
By the way, the owner of the horse that won the Belmont Stakes, by the way, previously had another horse that won the first two legs of the Triple Crown and didn't win the Belmont Stakes.
Oh, no kidding.
It was just an interesting footnote.
During this entire interview, the part that I thought was funny was his wife was standing behind him, and she
wearing a silly hat, by the way,
of course. And she had a sense that he was going off the rails.
Yeah,
and she kept like poking him from behind, like, "Hey, pull it back a little bit. You're calling people cowards."
And he almost like shoved her out of the way too.
He kept turning around, going, "No, I want to say it. I mean this. This is."
And
this,
I don't think he was drunk either. By the way, I think he was just mad.
Oh, so
I was
awesome.
Expecting him to be drunk, but I think he was just angry.
I wish he would have been drunk and puked on the reporter. Now, if you could guarantee me that, I would watch every horse race.
So you think they came right after your horse and that was the plan, just like they have other potential Triple Crowns?
Exactly. Our horse had a target on his back. Everybody else lays out one, or they won't run in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness. They'll wait until the Belmont. You know what? If you've got a horse, run him in all three. If you've got a horse that can... That Carolyn, if you've got a horse...
That was where he was turning around to his wife. I think her name's Carol or Carolyn or something. He's like, stop poking me. I'm making a point here.
That earns points to run in the Kentucky Derby. Those 20 horses that start in Kentucky are the only 20 eligible to run in all three races. This is the coward's way out.
Steve, I know it's a tough loss. We hope to see him down the road.
I don't care.
All right, Tom.
I don't care what he was saying to his wife again. He was turning around to her going, I don't care.
I'm sure a lot of people in sports would like to be able to pick who they want to compete against, by the way.
I just love it when losers own it, when people get in front of the press and they just can't control their emotions. Yeah. So what do you think happened? Good morning, America. Mad angry dude calling everybody cowards.
How do you feel this morning, Steve?
Very ashamed of myself.
Oh.
Very ashamed. I need to apologize to a lot of people.
First of all, my wife, because I was calling her
names. Left me.
When I had a wife, that was cool. So anyway, horse racing, not for me, but when people lose it, I'm all in.
I hate car chases about as much as I hate anything in the world. I think they're stupid and a colossal waste of time.
I got home, turned on my TV, and I was like, woohoo, a car chase, and I watched every precious second.
I would watch an infomercial for douches before I would watch a car chase. So yesterday I wasn't all that impressed when everybody was all, oh my God, it's a car chase, a car chase. But then it took an interesting twist because a guy ended up on a roof in North Hollywood with what looked like an assault rifle.
Yep. Yeah.
Now you're talking about some actual news that helps the public to broadcast. And now I'm on board with news channels and the police and everybody saying, hey, don't go outside if you're anywhere in this neighborhood because you literally could get killed by a guy with a rifle.
So the guy is on a bunch of different freeways, the 5 and the the 110, the 170. Mm-hmm. He was all over the place. And then he got off and he went into a neighborhood. He parked his car and got out with his assault rifle and ran.
Yeah.
Now, did that end up being his house? Is that where he went? He drove home and he's on his own roof?
I didn't hear. But, I mean, imagine. Wouldn't you think? I mean, it just seems odd.
We didn't hear about any hostages.
But he's on the roof and he's walking back and forth like he's just waiting for action with his assault rifle. And I kept laughing to myself because I kept picturing Bean in all of his gawkiness just taking a nice little stroll right through that. You know what I saw? A guy got out of his car with an assault rifle and people scattered like mice.
Yes.
I mean, they were running from the scene because there's a crazy
Understandably.
Man.
Yeah, of course. Especially these days where every 2 or 3 days there's another guy who goes crazy with a gun and shoots a bunch of people.
Right. So luckily he didn't shoot anyone.
Right.
But I did picture this story because Bean told us this yesterday. He is not worried at all walking through a scene like that.
Look, if I saw a guy out on the street waving an assault rifle around, I'm scrambling like mice, too. The situation that I described to you was not that, though.
What was it?
I went to IHOP on Friday, and I parked about 2 blocks away. This was in downtown Seattle. And I was walking from the IHOP back to my car. And there were half a dozen police cars, about a dozen Seattle police officers with riot gear on, basically, with the bulletproof vests. And
wow.
Some of them had the thing over their face and everything like that. And they had their guns and rifles drawn. And they were covering both entrances to a building that was about a half a block or so from the IHOP. So I saw, and I had no idea, of course, what it was, but I saw all these police officers all, around the door. Looking like there was going to be a shootout, but I had to walk right past them to get to my car on the other side of the street.
Okay, but there's no way to go around the block or take any other direction. It's just you have to walk that way.
That's a long way.
But I'm saying, how is that different from this? The cops had to...
Because there wasn't a guy in the street waving a gun around like he was looking to shoot somebody. Whoever the police were after, and it turned out to be a guy with a gun, was inside the building. No shots had been fired.
By the way, that was the second half of yesterday. The second half of yesterday is he came down from the roof and went inside the residence.
Yeah,
and
the guy yesterday seemed a little bit crazier.
Oh, really?
Than my guy.
You don't know your guy.
I didn't see my guy. You're right. I didn't see my guy. But the guy yesterday, you could look at him and see he was crazy.
Sure. What did your wife say when she found out that you walked right past the scene within a block of cops in riot gear?
Oh, I was I was 25 feet. I was directly on the opposite side of the street from the doorway that they were all crowded around. So he was on the inside, and it occurred to me. I mean, I did think about it. I didn't just blindly just walk past. I thought,
that's worse.
I thought, what are the chances that the guy inside, who's now in a building surrounded by police, is going to start firing? And if he does start firing, what are the chances that that bullet is going to go from his side of the street and hit me in the 1 second that I'm walking past his building?
But you would have deserved it. If it happened. No, I'm saying because if it happened, you had every warning. From cops with a standoff to the guns drawn to the riot police pointing a gun right across the street from where you were. Had it happened, it would have been all on you. Correct.
I agree with that, I guess. But look,
what kind of decision making is that?
You didn't know how many people were in that place with guns.
Yeah, you didn't
know the whole gang.
You're right. There could have been a lot, but nobody. Look, if bullets had been flying, I wouldn't have gone that way.
Oh, I see. So you just wait until the bullets fly.
No one was shooting, though, is what I'm saying. So what are the chances that the gunfire is going to begin in the 2 seconds that it takes me to walk past this part of the building? I feel like I feel like the odds were in my favor.
The odds were in your favor. How many cops were there and riot police?
I mean, there were about a dozen, I guess.
Okay, so 12 weapons that you could see.
Right.
Inside the house or the apartment, whatever it was, store. There,
right.
You don't have any idea how many
weapons. No idea, until I heard it on the news later.
But
that there was just one guy.
But all the weapons were drawn.
Right.
And the safeties were off.
Right.
I'd say the chance that bullets are going to fly is pretty good. I don't know a single soul who would have made the decision that you made. I think Bean is so used to not being connected to society that he didn't see himself as part of that situation.
I would have gone the long way.
I would have gone the long way if it was walking through Austin, Texas.
I mean, you just...
I was wondering about this, and we want to take calls, by the way, if you have ever come across an active crime scene like this with or gunfight or something like that where you've been super close to this sort of thing breaking out. But I wondered about this after the fact when I was getting berated by my bride.
As you should have been.
I wondered if we're just so used to seeing these sorts of things on TV and in the movies that there's some part of our brain that thinks it's not real. Like, I'm not going to get hit because I'm just watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But you didn't think about that. You thought, what are the chances a gunfight's going to break out? What are the chances, if it does, a bullet's going to hit me? You reasoned your way through that.
I walked right through the situation. I attacked the problem from logic rather than from fear. Yes. But haven't you been in a situation like this? Weren't you in a place, an intersection sometime when gunfire broke out, Kevin? You kind of had a similar reaction where you didn't do anything at first, right?
At first.
He was frozen. That's why.
It took me a second to realize what was going on. I was leaving a Laker game. I was sitting at a stoplight, and I heard gunfire. And I looked to my left, and there was a gas station there. And there was a guy shooting his gun in the air like he just didn't care. And it did take me a second to realize, wow, I'm close. But you know what I did, Bean? I stepped on the gas and ran the red light and got myself out of that situation.
Well, I didn't stand across the street and gawk and wait for gunfire. I walked, you know, at a regular pace past them.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go to John real quick, and then we'll take calls from people who you found yourself in a super dangerous situation, and what did you do? John from Los Angeles, hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. Being your fool.
Well, that's hardly breaking news, John.
Now, John, you're a cop?
Yes, I'm a cop.
All right.
I'm a SWAT cop.
A SWAT cop, okay.
Yes. I've dealt with many situations like the one Bean is describing here.
All right.
You make things so much more difficult for us, Bean, that I'm yelling at you as a proxy for everyone ever done it.
But look, I also thought about that. I was, remember, on the other side of the street. I wasn't
Bullets can't go that far.
No. I wasn't in any way getting in the police officer's way, impeding them at any point. I walked past them on the other side of the street.
Okay, Bean, let's do some math. Hang on, real quick. Let's do some math. You said a dozen cops, maybe six cop cars for this guy, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's say that very slim chance you were counting on not happening happens and you get hit.
Okay.
Then what do the cops do? They have to go deal with you.
By the way, I saw yesterday's standoff. They spent most of their time trying to warn people and get them out of the area.
Yeah.
So at this point, Bean is just one of the other distractions that the police department had to consider.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm getting at. And everybody listening, please, please take this to heart.
Don't be Bean.
Basically.
Okay. All right.
I respect your opinion, John. I'm glad you called. But again,
He's a SWAT officer.
He wasn't standing around taking photos
John, if people just walk past?
At a normal pace.
John, is that cool?
I'm sorry. Oh, no. No.
Not cool.
Uncool. No. Okay.
So Bean's suggesting that just because he didn't stop and take pictures, everything was cool. Not the case.
Blanket bit of advice for everybody listening. If you see a cop with his gun out, stay as far away as possible.
I think that's most of our reactions. Except for Bean.
But there's always someone who chooses not to.
I know, the douchebag, right? It's the douchebag factor.
All right, let's not get into that. Thank you, John, for listening. Thank you for calling. All right, where were you when you showed up at something that was super dangerous? It was going down, and what did you do? You run past it? Did you cry like a little girl? What did you do? Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on Comedian, actress Jenny Slate from Parks and Rec and The Kroll Show and the new film Obvious Child joins us next hour here on The Kevin Amin Show. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to Jack White at the Fonda. That's all coming up. But first, taking your calls, have you walked into an active police or crime scene? How did you handle it? Kevin is frankly worried about me that I walked past a potential shootout in Seattle a couple of days ago.
Basically through. I mean, honestly, across the street is not helpful when it comes to a gun.
When it comes to a bullet, I guess bullets do travel. That's the one thing we know from TV.
And by the way, just for the record, John the cop who called last break said, Bean, you're a fool.
He did say that. Yeah. That's true. 1-800-520-1067. We've got some great calls here. Let's talk to Jerry. He's on line six. His situation is a little bit different. It sounds like he may have gotten involved somehow in the crime. What's going on here, Jerry? What happened?
Yeah, so my brother and I were driving past the store. Security comes chasing a guy out, I guess, who's shoplifting, whatever, and sheriff's also chasing him. He's on foot. My brother and I tell him, let's go see what's going on. So we chase him around the block. They end up tackling him about maybe 10, 15 feet in front of our car.
Right.
And the cops draw on us thinking, you know, we were with the guy. So.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Because you're running around the block with the police and with the criminal.
Yeah, it was like real-life cops. I was like, hey, let's go see, you know, what's going on. And
how long did it take you to convince them that you were just an observer?
Well, I was, you know, at the time I used to watch cops. I yelled out the one. I said, code 4, like, and the guy looked at me confused. He didn't know if I was, you know, what was going on. But, you know, luckily we didn't get shot that day. So.
Yes, very lucky indeed. Thank you for the call. You know, I got the impression from John, the cop who called, that and you said this yesterday about the situation in North Hollywood, is they do spend a lot of time trying to keep people away from whatever work they're trying to do, right?
Yeah, I mean within, you know, like a 4-block radius, they try to get everybody just to get out of the way because they don't know how bad it's going to get.
Exactly. Let's talk to Brian. He's in Long Beach. He's at a party, it sounds like, and somehow the police end up being uninvited guests. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa Mae.
Hello.
What happened?
All right, so me and my friend had just got to this party in downtown L.A. The cops were already outside patrolling, just, you know, making sure that the music was down or whatever. As soon as me and my friend go inside, these two guys get into a fight. One of them pulls out a gun and shoots the guy. At the same time, the police hear the commotion. They run inside from one door, and the bouncers inside the party come in from another side. They don't know who's who. They start shooting at each other.
Oh, my God.
A cop gets shot. A bouncer gets shot. One of the guys in the party was already shot, and me and my friend were just on the floor covering our heads.
Like a little girl.
Yeah, of course.
No, you did the right thing. Getting on the floor covering your heads may be the right call.
No, I know.
I mean, that's a party.
Yeah, and, you know, they ended up commandeering 3 Metro buses to take everybody to jail because a cop got shot. And they don't play when that happens.
No, they do not.
Yeah. And they shouldn't. That so they just hauled everybody away until they could sort it out, right?
So we were just trying to party on the bus after that.
All right.
Thanks for the call. That's the way to do it. Keep the party going on the police bus.
Moving the party onto wheels. Let's go to Rich, by the way. He's in Thousand Oaks. He's on line 4. Sounds like he was in a similar situation to what I was the other day. You were across the street from what, Rich?
We were across the street from a Bank of America.
All right.
And we saw all the police come flying down the street, kind of surround the bank, and we were kind of like moths drawn to the light. It was we had to get closer. Of course, I was a little younger.
You had to get closer?
Yes. Yeah, we wanted to see what was really going on.
But were you hiding behind a building or a dumpster or anything?
There was actually about a 3-foot block wall that we were standing behind, and all of a sudden we heard the gunfire. And
oh, my God.
There was a shootout, and we ducked down behind the block wall, and the robbers actually got out of the bank, into their cars, and took off, and we saw the whole thing, and they just took off and hit the freeway and headed towards Ontario at the time. I was living in Norco.
I wonder what it is about some people who want to run as fast away from a situation like that and others who can't get close enough to see it with their own eyes.
I don't know if it's an adrenaline thing or if it's just, it was something we had to get close to.
It was stupid, right?
Right.
I mean, in 2020 hindsight, it was dumb.
In retrospect, yeah. What's ironic is both my parents are cops.
Are you crazy? You didn't tell him, did you?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we ran up. We had to get closer, Mom and Dad. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's exactly
thanks for the
it
call. It sounds like our listeners are dumbasses, and there are people. That's what it's
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Guitar god Jack White in town. Breakfast with Kevin and Bean Thursday morning here on K-Rock. You can see him tonight at the Fonda. Of course, the show is completely sold out, but if you're lucky enough to win your way in, you'll be seeing him tonight. You can call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for Jack White fans. We'll give you a chance to earn those tickets coming up right after the top of the hour.
Bean, is it cool if I just give you a heads up now that it's possible, I'm not guaranteeing anything, but it is possible that the LA Kings might win the Cup Wednesday night, in which case you might be doing the breakfast by yourself Thursday morning.
You may still be partying. You may still be on the party bus. Is that what you're saying?
Heads up.
All right. Noted. So we'll give you Jack White tickets coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Tracy Morgan update as Kevin and Bean, that's us, fill in for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. Doctors say his condition is critical but stable. By the way, there were rumors floating around yesterday that he might have to have a leg amputated.
Apparently,
that is untrue. That is not true. But he has all sorts of broken bones, broken ribs, a broken femur, a broken nose.
Oh, my God.
He's expected to stay in the hospital for weeks, by the way. The truck driver who is driving the Walmart truck, Kevin Roper, has been speaking out lately. And I think this is interesting. He says that he believes that he is being skewered because he hit the wrong car, because a celebrity was involved in the accident, so people are coming down harder on him. He also says, by the way, I wish it was me that got hurt instead of Tracy. I can't express how horrible I feel. He denies reports that he had not slept for 24 hours, which was also the thing that was going around yesterday.
I heard that.
He said the bad press is all about finding a scapegoat because a famous person was involved. So somehow he is suggesting that he must be the one who's at fault because... But it doesn't make any sense.
He was the one at fault.
No one is suggesting... I mean, I don't really know what the specifics were of the accident, but no one is suggesting that I've heard that the limo driver did anything wrong, the car that Tracy Morgan was in, right?
Right.
No.
The truck driver, again, his name is Kevin Roper, working for Walmart. He says, I was never charged at the scene of the accident because, once again, I am not guilty of any crime. When the TV cameras came, that's when everybody started coming down on me, basically. He says he was not negligent. He was not responsible for the crash. He was not at fault, he says over and over again. So, yes, now I am most likely effed because I had an unfortunate accident with the wrong car that night. It seems like there would be witnesses on the New Jersey Turnpike as to what happened and what caused the accident, right?
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, something happened.
Right. Something happened,
That's a good point, and Lisa. That's tough to argue.
Somebody did something that wasn't right. That's how cars crash.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe it was a blind curve and they had stopped. You know, who knows? And the truck didn't have a heads up or what? I don't know.
Right, but that seems like the trucker's fault, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, generally, if you run into somebody from behind, it's your fault, right? And that was
unless
the initial report.
Unless they're wearing white pants.
And in which case, they're asking for it.
Right.
That was, I mean, the early reports that I heard suggested that the truck driver did not slow down when the rest of traffic slowed down, and that's how he ended up hitting the car. In that case, it would be his fault. So I don't know. He could just be protecting himself. I don't know what's happening, and I'm sure the investigation is ongoing, but that's what he's saying here today, and I guess he's going to be back in court today, so we'll see what happens.
Bean, did you like the new Michael Jackson album, Escape? Did you get that?
I liked some of it. I loved the single, though. Loved it. Thought it was great.
The producer of a lot of Michael Jackson's stuff, Jerkins, told RollingStone.com that there could be as many as 8 more albums. Unreleased tracks.
That dozens and dozens of Michael Jackson songs that were never finished or released?
This is what he says. He's a Epic Records executive who worked with Michael, said, quote, after a while, a certain part of the audience stops listening. Michael was famous for over-recording. For each new album, he reportedly recorded 20 to 30 finished songs.
Wow.
And then would pick the 10 best and put out the albums. So for each album, he had about 20 other songs finished. That's surprising to me.
So here's the question that you have. If you're a fan of an artist, whether it's Michael Jackson or anybody, do you want to hear those songs that he decided not to put out for whatever reason? Or do you not? Do you think that detracts from his legacy because now you're putting out material that Michael thought was substandard? Which camp are you in?
I don't know that it's substandard. I have a clip if you'd like to hear.
One of the other Michael Jackson? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This is
later on that day, my homie Dr. Dre came through with a gang of tank array and a fat ass J of some bubonic chronic that made me choke. Shoot, this ain't no joke. I had to back up off it and sit my cup down. Tank array and chronic, yeah, I messed up now.
How did he not put that out? That's fantastic. Oh, that case. Whatever's in the vault, release it. Today's celebrity birthdays, the best person in the history of the world ever. I say she should be up on Mount Rushmore instead of all those stupid presidents. The great Kate Upton turns 22 years old today. Actress Lily Sobieski is 31. All right, we've moved on past Kate. Oh. Now you're ringing a bell for DJ Qualls if you keep going.
Nope.
He is 36 years old today. Actor Shane West turns 36 as well. Our friend comedian Bill Burr is 46 years old today. Gina Gershon is 52. And actress Elizabeth Hurley, she turns 49. And that's the Showbiz Beat here on K. Jack White is in town for a sold-out show tonight at the Fonda. We want to give you a chance to get into that sold-out show with a game that we like to call Riff It.
KMB is here and we're in effect. Want you to go see Jack Rip it good. Rip it. Rip it real good.
Sort of turned on by that intro, I gotta be honest.
I want some of whatever Omar is smoking when he goes in to record those things. I love this game, by the way. This is a new one here on the Kevin Abid Show. Basically, we're going to be playing parts of Jack White songs. They can be from any of his bands. Can be from the White Stripes, the Raconteurs, the Dead Weather, solo stuff, whatever it is. You're going to be hearing a guitar riff from the song.
Rip it.
Yes,
rip
you're going to rip
real good.
All you have to do is tell us the name of the song, and there's no drawing here, kids. You win your way into tonight's show at the Fonda. So good luck. Congratulations to all the Jack White fans on the phone. Let's see who's going.
Alex is first in Diamond Bar. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
All right. So you know how the game is played, right? We're going to play a little clip of a Jack White song. You tell us what the riff is, what the name of the song is, and you win the tickets. You ready?
Not a great day to be a nervous guy, but let's do this.
All right. Good luck.
What say you, Alex?
I'm going to say Freedom at 21.
Great guess. This time we were looking for Lazaretto.
Sorry, thank you for playing the game. Let's go to Ray in Anaheim. Hi there.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning.
Ray, listen up. Good luck.
What song is that?
Get Behind Me, Satan.
Sorry.
Blue Orchid.
Okay,
you know what I love about Jack White? I listen to that clip we just played. That song could have come out in 1968 or 1985 or today. His stuff is just timeless.
Are you saying he has amazing riffs?
Rip it. Rip it real good.
Sure. That's another way of saying it. Absolutely.
Hey, Julian in Diamond Bar.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Play a little game here for Jack White tickets. Are you ready for your song?
Yes, I am.
Here it comes.
Freedom at 21.
Yes!
Yes, nicely done. You win tickets.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Hold on.
Have fun tonight at the Fonda. Well done, sir.
Let's go to Santa Monica and say good morning to Bill. Hey.
Hey, good morning.
Kind of a sausage fest this game here today, by the way.
Really? Sort of is, isn't it?
The deal is with that. Not making me feel good about our breakfast with later this week.
Here's your song.
Come on, Bill. Don't let me down.
Seven Nation Army?
I'm sorry, that was Icky Thump.
No!
I wish you had put as much commitment into knowing your Jack White songs as you did with the no. That was very impressive.
Let's go to Long Beach and say good morning to Matt. Hey there.
Good morning.
You know what we're doing? We're playing Riff It.
Riff It. Riff It real good.
I think I'm ready.
Good luck, Matt.
With the girl.
There it is.
That is correct.
Hot fudge, holy moly,
indeed.
That's the second part of the song, yes. Hold on, you win tickets? Let's go to Pomona and say good morning to Arlette. Hi there.
Hello.
A woman! Finally a chick. Finally.
A woman! A girl!
Arlette, how have you been doing listening on hold to the Jack White songs?
Oh my god, I almost cringed when it was when they didn't say Icky Thump, so I think I'm totally gonna screw up now.
Oh good. Excellent. All right, here you go.
Steady as she goes.
Yes.
Nicely done.
Well done.
You win tickets.
All right, we got time for just a couple of more. Giving away tickets for the sold-out Jack White show at the Fonda tonight. Actress, comedian Jenny Slate joins us in moments. Who's up next?
In Los Angeles, we go to Kyle. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. We're playing Rip It. Ah, Rip It. Rip It real good. Here's your song.
Seven Nation Army.
There it is.
Nicely done.
I was going to drive to your home and throttle you if you didn't get that one, so I'm glad you got it. Have a great time at the show tonight. One more contestant.
All right. That would be Aubrey from Riverside. Aubrey,
hey
hi.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
How have you been doing on hold?
Great.
Great. All right.
So I feel like I'm going to choke on this.
Here you go.
I'm so Aubrey. Nervous. I can't even think of it.
Aubrey, come on. We want you to win. Come on.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, dead leaves in the other dirty ground.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You are not a winner. But thanks for playing Riff It.
Riff It. Riff It real good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. You guys know how that ends. For God's sakes, we got Jenny Slate in here. We're not going to...
Seriously, we don't waste our time here. That stupid song. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be back.
You have been a busy little bee since the last time we talked to you. So much ground we got to cover, but I want to start with the most important thing of all.
Sure.
Which is... You can't change your own Wikipedia page, right?
I don't know.
What do you mean? I thought you could.
Well, first of all, I'm really bad at computers. Like, I just shouldn't even try.
Okay.
But I looked the other day, and it said that it was like Jennifer Slate. And I was like, no.
That's not your name?
Initially wrong.
Okay.
Right off the bat, you're not right.
Hard to believe something would be wrong on Wikipedia.
I know. The internet is only truth, is what it is.
That's what I thought.
So you were not born Jennifer. Your given name is Jenny.
Yeah, because I'm from Boston and my mom is like a little snobby and didn't want people to call me Jennifer.
Jennifer, yeah.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Nice.
Jennifer,
okay.
Get in here.
That makes sense.
All right, now we've talked to many people over the years who have run into this problem where something has been wrong and they've gone to Wikipedia and they've said, look, in your case, I'm Jenny Slate. That's not my name. And they say, it's too bad. You can't change it. Somebody else has to go in and change it, which is the weirdest thing.
Somebody geekier has to change
Wait,
it?
Wait, apparently so.
So she's not allowed to change it like the rest of us can?
Yes.
What?
Sounds weird. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Somebody changed it, though.
I'm going to change it to Jennylicious. Is that cool?
I mean, what if somebody just, like, went on there and changed it to, like, Jenny, like, butt farts? You know, like...
Hang on, let me make a note.
And
that might happen.
That was more of a wish.
I guarantee with our listeners it's already been changed today.
Darn it. Yeah. So true.
So did you see, you probably saw this in the news, Jenny. It was very funny. Somebody went on California Chrome's Wikipedia page the other day and blamed President Obama for the fact that California Chrome was not able to win the Triple Crown.
Because
you can just put anything you want up on the Wikipedia. So.
Bean always trusts it. And my policy is if I can change it, you shouldn't trust him.
Right. Yeah, totally.
It just seems like it's a bad idea.
Yes, yes.
Well, Jenny is here because she's got a new film out called Obvious Child, which we have many things we want to talk to you about. That is playing in select theaters right now, and it's opening wider at the end of the month. But before we get to that, let's catch up a little bit with what you've been up to since the last time you were in last spring. You've been continued on Parks and Rec, right?
Yep.
House of Lies, recurring role in House of Lies, still on the Kroll Show.
Yes.
You've done any new Marcel since the last time we saw you?
No new Marcel, but there's a new Marcel picture book coming out November 4th, and there will be a new short then. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. All right. Uh-huh. You were on Drunk History since we saw you last.
I was, and I barfed a lot. After we were done shooting, because I was like, well, I watched a lot of them before I did it, and I was like, you know, when I'm not going to like go crazy, because I don't go crazy when I'm drunk. I just usually it's like I thought pretty cool.
Was it eye opening to see yourself in that?
I didn't understand what I was saying. Like when I watched it, I was like, what am I talking
That's
about?
That's my day to day life. But all right.
What was your topic on drunk history?
I did the history of Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. History of Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
all right.
And that was cool. But at the end of it, I seemed to be insinuating that they took all of the cocaine out of the Coca-Cola and they are hiding it somewhere. Which is, like, unbelievable to me because I don't care about conspiracies at all. You know, usually I'm like, oh, everybody stop gossiping. Who cares? You know, but.
Right. But if there's a stash of cocaine someplace. Yeah.
But I'm like, where that booger sugar at? I need to know.
Yeah, how about a heads up? So how does that, what kind of medical supervision happens when you're on drunk history?
Well, they have a nurse there, like, that gives you the breathalyzer. And I was like, really, my main move when I'm drunk is to pretend that I'm not, so that I can drink more and, you know, whatever. And then I fall down and all my friends are like, oh, wait, how much has she had to drink? But
because you're a little thing. It doesn't wouldn't take much.
It doesn't. It's like one sniff of Manischewitz. And I'm like, get her. Really intense. But the lady, like, gave me the breathalyzer and she was like, there's no way you're blowing this high of a number. And I was
really?
Like, I'm an expert.
What was the number?
I have no idea.
0.8?
0.1 million. Yeah, I don't know.
So
I
you had like one drink and it was like off the charts.
I drank a lot of vodka because also, you know, Derek Waters, who does the show, is like the most charming person in the world.
Right.
So
we've had him in. He sounds drunk when he's not.
Yeah, has a really relaxed speaking tone. That's true.
I like that. I'm going to use that for myself. Then.
Yeah.
Relaxed speaking tone.
Yeah.
They're coming back in a couple of weeks here on the show to be here too. The drunk history guys. So how long does it, like, I'm fascinated by this because, of course, we see the whole thing edited down and do it, you know, 15 minutes. But how long does it take to shoot that whole day for you?
Well, I mean, you're asking the person who was wasted.
Right.
But I think it's like a 3-hour shoot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you tell the story like quite a few times over and over again. And they give you some notes and stuff so that, you know, they help you with the research so that you don't.
And then they just edit all the best parts together.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. There's a lot of me yelling at my dog to be quiet.
So do you start drinking like an hour before they start shooting or so?
Yeah. By the time they got to my house, I was like fairly buzzed. And by the time they left, I don't remember them leaving at all. But I remember waking up the next day on my bathroom floor.
And most of your underwear was missing?
Everything was off. I was a complete nude. I was a complete Nakes. And I wandered into the other room and I was like, what happened? And my husband was like, you were a monster. You barfed a lot. But,
oh,
you know,
no.
Anything for Derek. I
sure.
love the show.
Sure. Anything for comedy.
Did you go to him? Yeah. Or did he come
they
to you?
Came to they me, came to me, actually. You and said, yeah. I thought they wanted me to be one of the reenactors. And they were like, no, you'll be one of the story.
Well, they just wanted to see you naked. That's all that was going on there. Today. Now, is this true? I did not see this, but did you also do Getting Dug with High since we saw you last?
I did. I did.
You're the best! Jenny knows how to party.
Yeah, that was really fun. But I did get a little bit confused halfway through it and thought that maybe the entire thing was a prank.
Oh, really? You didn't think it was going to go on YouTube or anything?
Well, halfway through they were like, YouTube, shut us down. This isn't happening or something. And I was like, oh, is this like some sort of punk thing? But also I was like kind of chill. I was like, that's fine if it is.
Doesn't
I just like want to know.
I'm good.
Because was it the first one? Is that why? And there was some conflict
the
over whether YouTube was going to let them even do the show, right?
Yes, it was
the first one. And they pulled it like halfway through or something.
Yeah, they did.
That's
but then,
awesome.
You know, they put it all back up. That was really fun.
Isn't Doug Benson the best, though? And isn't
great.
It awesome? I mean, if you're going to smoke out with Doug Benson is like such a badge of honor, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the dude you want to do it with.
Yeah, I guess so. He is like the living marijuana plant.
He is a professional, though.
Yeah, he really is. I'm just an amateur.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did that. That's awesome. We got to take a quick break. Jenny Slate is here in studio. We're very excited about this new movie, Obvious Child, by the way, which looks like nothing else that I've seen on the big screen before. I can't wait to see it. It's in select theaters right now. We'll talk to Jenny Kenny all about it when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Petros Papadakis joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Rob Delaney at 9 o'clock. Jenny, you must know Rob Delaney. You guys are funny people. You all know each other, right?
Yep, I know him.
Should I turn on your microphone?
Yeah, that would be cool. I would love for the microphone to be on.
My bad.
I want to be on the radio show if I'm going to sit in the chair.
Sure, why not? He's the hairiest person in comedy, right?
I don't know. You know, I literally don't know.
Although your friend Gabby Hoffman might be close now that I think about it.
Oh, that's not nice.
She's very hairy, but I'm just saying.
Well, we all have body hair. It's just how
she is one of your co-stars in the new film that is called Obvious Child that is in select theaters right now. It's in wider release on June 26th. And I know that you have been talking about this movie for a long time, and we're so grateful that you're here today. But it's kind of a tough sell for some people out of the gate just because of one element of the script, right?
Which is the poopy jokes.
Yeah, all the farting. There's so much farting in this movie, Jenny.
I say all of my lines out of my butt, so, you know, it's experimental.
I like it.
But I want to do new things. You know, it's been unfortunately, or I don't know, billed as an abortion comedy because the character has an abortion, but it is not an abortion comedy. I don't know what that is. It's a romantic comedy with like a modern story where it's really funny and really romantic. And also the main character chooses to have an abortion and has it. And it's not like sensationalized or, you know, like a giant tragedy or a victory. It's just part of her life, as it is part of many women's lives.
And what I thought was interesting, because I've been reading a lot about this movie, is that, I mean, it's an look, whatever the listener's personal feelings are about this, it is a fact that it happens, and it happens a million times a year or something like that in this country, but it is so rarely depicted in any form of media. Almost like it's the quiet secret that we won't talk about because it's too polarizing for people to even attempt it. And that's what's kind of brave about this movie, is that you're putting it in as a realistic plot point in a young woman's life.
Yeah, I think, you know, we just wanted to tell a story where the big thing is not that the woman decides to have the abortion, but that there's complications just in general in a woman's life in her late 20s. And we just, you know, there doesn't need to be a stigma. We don't need to continue it, especially if we don't believe in it. And I don't know. It's really thoughtful. I just don't like the idea that anybody would think we're making jokes about abortion, because we're not. It's really thoughtful, funny film where the jokes are about the person.
And Dottie is a mess, right?
Yeah, she's a bit of a mess. She really is. She gets dumped right at the start. Then she gets fired. Then she gets wasted. Then she has a one-night stand and gets pregnant. And there's a lot of, like, drunk dialing and also some bombing on stage. She's a stand-up comedian.
Oof.
She gets up there pretty ripped up and does a bad job.
All of a sudden she's angry at the
world,
life and everything else.
Very angry, yeah.
So you and Gillian, your director,
Gillian.
Guys did this. Gillian, excuse me.
Hard G.
You guys did this as a short film some time ago, and then it was so well received that then you guys started thinking about, hey, maybe there's a full length in this?
Yeah, I think so. It was really like a delightful short that we made, and people wanted more, and we wanted to work together again, and we still felt in absence of a story where it's a romantic comedy, but you might actually know the lady, you know, like I am aware that I'm not your typical blonde, button-nosed female lead, but I think it's still pretty cool.
This must be, I mean, you've done so many things in the years that you've been working as an actress and as a comedian. This must be a whole different level of attention for you, though, to be in a movie like this that is causing such a conversation. I mean, do you feel like your life has changed a lot since this film came out?
The fact that my husband was like, are you going to pick up the dog food tomorrow or not?
Yeah.
Keeps you
grounded?
Yeah. Well, you know.
In a movie.
Yeah. Last night at 11 p.m., I was still smoking weed and trying to steal someone's HBO Go. So. It's all pretty grounded on my end.
Have you run into any crazy people in the promotion of this movie? Have you been picketed? Have there been threats against you or anything like that? Because as we mentioned, it's such a sensitive topic for some people that they can't stop themselves.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I've been really lucky. I think in general, there's like a need out there, not just for kind of like more authentic voices, but for sweet stories. You know, our stories really, really sweet, and I think people feel good. That has been the general reaction. So I don't know. It's been nice to see all these humans.
It's a little bit more honest, and it's not all about that, and so you're getting a good response from it.
Yeah, you know, the movie's not at all trying to be shocking. It's just trying to tell a modern story, and it's very nice and easy to take down.
Let's play a clip from the trailer of Obvious Child. This will give you a great idea what the tone is with our guest, Jenny Slate.
I was recently dumped up with my very nice close friend who's such a nice person decided to sleep with my boyfriend. I would love to just murder suicide them.
Hey Max, remember from before when we did sex to each other?
I can't get your blouse off.
I'm having your abortion. Do you want to share a dessert?
He's like so Christian. He's like a Christmas tree.
So be the angel on top.
I'm not the angel on top. I'm the menorah on top of the tree that burns it down.
That is Obvious Child. It's showing in limited release right now, wide release June 27th. Hey, Jenny, before you go,
Yes. You
are on one of the shows that I am so excited about coming out this summer called Married.
Yes.
Judy Greer, who we love, Nat Faxon, who we love. Yeah. You're in this thing. Is it as funny as it looks in the commercials?
It is really, really funny. You also got Brett Gelman, who's an amazing actor and stand-up comedian, and John Hodgman, and I'm married to Paul Reiser. So if that's not enough for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's on, is it FX? Is that right?
It's on FX. It'll be out July 21st. And it's really funny. It's you know, kind of fits in with that FX family of like stories that are really original, a bit dark and unexpected, but very, very funny and unlike anything else.
We're really excited. Can't wait to see it. It looks so awesome. And it's so great to catch up with you again. Congratulations on everything. Please come see us anytime. You know we love you.
I will. Thanks for having me. And I hope everyone has a nice day out there.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Petros Papadakis next hour here on K-Rock. And between 8 and 9, we'll give you another chance to win your way into the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock to see the band Linkin Park on June 17th. You can get more details and another chance to win at krock.com, but that is all coming up. Rob is out today. We're taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat this hour. It's the beautiful Lisa May. Hey, Lise.
Hello. I have some good news for me anyway. I love Amy Schumer. I love her show on Comedy Central.
It is great.
Inside Amy Schumer. She's just awesome and so brave.
Yep.
She does really like the amazing, embarrassing things, and I love her for it.
And she's not afraid to make herself look as bad as possible.
Not at all. And yet she's a pretty girl, which usually pretty girls are afraid to do that
because
they want to stay pretty, but she doesn't care. So Comedy Central has renewed her for season 3.
Awesome.
So she can start writing that. And also Andy Daly's Review, which is
That's a great show.
It's so honked up and weird.
Have you seen that one yet, Kevin? Do you know Review with John Daly?
I saw one, and then I ran into hockey season. I haven't had time, but I've taped them all.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. People write in and they say, what's it like to be a drug addict? So he goes out and he finds out what it's like to be. He becomes a drug addict so that he can report back on it and give it a star rating. And it's everything from rob a bank to get divorced. Like whatever people throw at him, he does. And it's just hilarious.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to hear it's coming back.
The divorce one was just hilarious because, of course, he's not allowed to tell his wife why he's leaving her. All right, so Casey Kasem, this story, like we think of this story as the daughter is the hero. And maybe she is.
It seems like the newest wife is the bad guy.
Right.
And the daughter is the hero.
And the daughter's the hero.
But
so yesterday afternoon, a Los Angeles judge ordered doctors to resume water, nutrition, and medication for Casey Kasem. We know he's in terrible, terrible shape, right?
Yeah, he's like knocking on heaven's door.
Right,
basically.
And the daughter got him back from Jean Kasem.
That's the new wife.
New wife.
Right.
By the way, new wife of
20 years.
30 years.
Or 30 years?
Oh, 30
years.
Okay.
Yeah. But not the original wife. So the person, though, that ordered the food and the water and the medication to be withheld was the daughter.
What?
Yeah, which is very surprising to me. And so Jean Kasem's lawyer is the one that went to the court and said, we can't do this. So the court said, you're right. And so they're giving him food, water, and medication again.
So this is more complicated than we know.
Yeah, and so Jean Kasem...
By the way, medication is bad enough, but food and water?
Yeah, I know. I mean,
how does that get taken away?
When you're on death's... I mean, do they do that when you're just about to die so that they're not... I don't know, torturing you? needlessly or something?
I don't have any idea.
I have no idea. I mean, I guess it would depend greatly on what the condition of the patient was at that time. But I would imagine at a minimum, you would always want to stay hydrated. You'd always want to be hooked up to fluids or something like that. It's just a terrible story.
So Jean Kasem's lawyer is saying that Carrie Kasem, the daughter, her motive is that she wants her dad to die now because she's in really bad financial shape. And there's a big insurance policy that she would get.
So it is ugly.
It's just the saddest thing ever.
It also comes from lawyers.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Just putting that
Who the hell knows?
Don is not on the
phone. I think Don needs to settle this.
Yeah,
I think somebody needs to get Don on the phone and get this thing handled, I think.
So the Coen brothers do really interesting movies, right? Like Blood Simple, I think, was one of the first of theirs I saw. And I was like, what? I don't get it. This is horrible and weird. And I loved it.
I did too.
And Fargo is like that. Same. And The Big Lebowski and True Grit. So they have a new movie called Hail Caesar. They just got the rights to it. And it's going to star Josh Brolin, who's been in some of their movies, No Country for Old Men and True Grit, and also George Clooney, who was in Burn After Reading. That was one of theirs. And also one of your favorites, Kevin, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, that's like, that was so bad.
This should be interesting. Out on video today, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit with Chris Pine. I haven't seen that yet. Also, Devil's Knot, that's with Reese Witherspoon and Colin Firth. And TV shows out on DVD, True Detective.
Great.
Halfway through, I stopped watching.
Oh.
I got to go back.
Yes, you do.
It's kind of slow.
It is slow.
Yeah.
But it builds.
But it's worth it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to go back. And then also Resurrection, the complete first season, and Ray Donovan season one. And in celebrity birthdays, Gina Gershon, who I've always liked, she's 52. Elizabeth Hurley is 49. We love Bill Burr, comedian, 46. Shane West, pretty hot, 36. DJ Qualls, he's 36. And
also pretty hot, by the way.
Pretty hot, yeah, you're right.
Pretty hot.
And Lily Sobieski's 31. And that's
the Hold on.
This is my report. And I do what I want. I do what I want. That's it.
Hold up.
I do what I want.
Here's my deal.
And that's the showbiz beat.
Kate Upton.
If you don't say
it's Kate Upton's birthday.
If you don't say Kate Upton, we're not going on.
That's a showbiz beat. Leave the bell alone.
Another try in front. Kick loose side of the net. And the horn sounds. The Los Angeles Kings have won the game 3-0 and are ahead in the series 3-0. The ninth career shutout for Jonathan Quick and his second career shutout in the finals.
Petros Papadakis, the co-host of the... What's happening? Are we playing everything at once?
All right, that's better.
Is that like a hockey thing? Is that the horn on the Zamboni?
That's the, I just scored a goal horn, is what that is.
Is that lighting the lamp? Is that getting the kitten past the mitten?
Yes,
is that getting the biscuit in the basket?
It's all of the above.
Kevin won't stop playing those beats.
Is that getting the pill past the uvula?
Petros Papadakis is here from the Petros and Money Radio Show at Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Hey, P, how are you, man?
Let's pop in with you guys. Go Kings, go. Hashtag go Kings, go. White people rejoice.
You were starting to say something that I found fascinating as you sat down, which
is... stopped me from having conversations with my friends.
Right, because I think it's interesting.
You have
discovered something about talking hockey on the radio. What is it?
Can't win. You cannot win with you people.
I
like hockey. I love the hockey people. The hockey people are wonderful people. The players, they have a code. They have class. Mm-hmm. The coaches, they're so real. It's almost too real. You know, the announcers, I mean, everybody is really wonderful in hockey, except for the fans. Because when there's an opportunity, everybody talks about, oh, hockey should be more popular. You know, there's a fine line between what hockey people that really want to share the sport do and what people who basically want to shame you into watching do, which is, I mean, you got to really balance that. And then when you do start talking about it, if you can't pronounce anything right, if you don't understand the sport, but you're trying to shed some light on it because it's going on right now, then the people that are there every night, they are angry and they feel entitled, like an indie rock band, you know, like I liked the Killers when they had an EP, you know, that kind of thing.
And nobody was into them.
Yeah, so there's like one third of the people really just hate you for talking hockey because they don't want to hear it.
One
third is into it because they want their sport broadcasted. I would say that's you,
sure,
Kevin.
Yeah.
And then the other third is a hockey fan, and they don't want you to be part of their reindeer games and their beard and their gauged earrings or whatever. And that's just what it is.
I feel that's true, too, and I try to not overdo it on the air. I try to just sort of, but they're about to win. I mean, they could possibly win the cup tomorrow night. So I think today I'm fine.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm
not
resigned.
Saying that. I'm saying I certainly hope that's going to happen.
Oh, whatever.
Look, the Kings were down 3-0 earlier this year in the playoffs and came back and won. So
yeah, but that was the Kings down 3-0. And I don't understand. You know that I don't want to sit here and lead with.
Don't curse anything.
I don't understand. I'll curse you.
I'll beat you right up.
I'll curse you like the goat cursed the Cubs. And that was a Greek that did that to them, too. And if a Greek puts a curse on you, it's real. It's like two fistfuls of crap right on you. But look, this is I've been through all that because I have to ask. I'm not a hockey person, as you know.
Right.
I didn't grow up in the sport. But I have to ask all the stupid questions to all the wonderful experts that we bring on the show with Matt. And Matt is like you. You know, he loves the Kings and follows hockey closely. But to me, it's like these guys are so resilient. I mean, it's kind of beyond their sport. They've shown resilience that is unprecedented, historic resilience. I don't worry about them at all. At all.
And as soon as game four is over, I will be very excited about that. If they end up winning.
So do you get hate calls when you try to talk hockey on your show then?
I'm the idiot that gives out my phone number to the listeners once a year.
Well, don't do that.
Well, it's already happened, Kevin.
Well,
that horse is kind of already. I said
the horse has sailed.
I prefaced the thing with idiot. So everybody has my phone. I have.
Do you want to give it out?
No,
here?
Not on your show.
Okay.
No, right. No, that would end my life.
No, that's a big deal on Petros and Money show. That's
we
like
they release it once.
That's
a
like
year.
It's like your Victoria's Secret show. It's like everybody tunes in to get the secret Texoso number. Everybody knows that.
Yes. Thank you, Bean. Thank you for validating my existence. But so I have like a direct line to everybody, and nobody has that unprecedented access to great sports talk.
Sure.
And I know what people. And it's interesting because they just it comes out the third one third hates it.
Yeah, I hear you.
One third hates it because they love it, and then one third loves it and they love it like you.
All right, let me ask
you
this:
anyone else to love it?
They don't want anyone else to love it. Just like I felt when people started to get into the Kings of Leon.
I'm 1,000% in, but I do get the feeling that I'm in the minority. And I just try to keep it cut sort of myself. Hello. I do Twitter a lot, but other than that, I just try to.
You Twitter for the Kings, right? Don't they have you on their Twitter?
Not a lot since the first time.
They let him do it once.
Yeah, that was a one-time only deal. Pete, let me ask you.
I
was
at you right in the eye.
I was into the Black Keys. Like, I saw them at the Wiltern. There was nobody there. It was like 02.
Right.
That's how I feel about it.
Okay. That's how cool you are. Pete, let me ask you this question, though, in a broader sense. People who have. Hockey's been on the network. When it gets to be playoffs on the weekend, it's on the NBC. And the ratings have been pretty good because it's a New York, Los Angeles series.
You can always spin the numbers and spin them your way.
I'm just saying the ratings have been. My question to you is, as popular as hockey has become in cities like Los Angeles in recent years, why isn't it a more popular sport? Why aren't more people into it? Because once you see it, you realize it's great.
It's an inside-out sport. You know, you have to really kind of get into it to understand just the code and what these guys are doing. The sport goes fast. A third of the goals, I know I'm talking in thirds a lot, but a third of the goals are mistakes or accidents. It's an unbelievable sport, but it's like instrumental jazz. You know, it takes attention. You have to pay attention to get into it. And we didn't grow up with ice. It's not part of our nature. But that being said, you know, everybody talks. I think the Kings will really graduate, and they're going to be great for a long time, it seems. I think they'll really graduate in this town when people stop having the narrative of, does anybody in L.A. care about hockey when they're in the Stanley Cup? When that stops being the subject,
right.
then you'll say, okay, they've made it. But I will say this, and I've made this point this week. There's two NFL teams in this town that had to leave because there wasn't enough interest. We have two hockey teams that are very successful and thrive and are doing great in the Ducks and the Kings, both organizationally, both competitively, and as far as popularity in town. we can sustain two hockey teams in this town. I think hockey's doing fine. It's just a different kind of sport with a different kind of following. And to ask it to be like the NFL or the NBA or baseball with the Latino audience we have here in Los Angeles, where people just consume that stuff massively, is not fair. You know, to me, it is what it is. It's a great thing, and it's a great time to celebrate. And if people want to jump on the bandwagon, and they're doing it a little sooner this year, because they're more excited because they remember what happened 2 years ago, then so be it. I think it's a great thing for the town.
Well said. And I'm going to get me a TV when they win, too. Let me tell you that. I'm going to be the first one out there getting me a TV in the riots. The
you
P
think
is
there's going to be a white people bearded riot, like for when the Kings win? Just people going, just hitting up the Bed Bath & Beyond? We'll get a higher thread count, bitch!
The P is here. We have much more to talk about. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more right after this on the Kevin & Bean Show on K-Rock. Dear Kevin & Bean, please ask Petros about his football record being broken at Peninsula High by Jordan Munde, says Joe. What's that about, P? You had a football record?
Wait, you have the record?
You haven't played football in 40 years. How did you have a record that was still standing?
I had a bunch of records at Peninsula, including the 100, the 200, the 4x1, rushing yards, touchdowns in a season,
really?
Stuff like that. Yeah.
And what?
So what? Yeah, what just got
yards in a season, but with 100 more carries. Now, I love Jordan Mundy, and I think he was a great back, and I love his father, who's a great ex-cop in our town.
That's important to put out there.
Well, it was bad. I didn't know that when he was about to break the record, and I was on the radio saying that I was going to do a home invasion on his house. Tie him up and make him watch video of me running the football. But, no, he was a different kind of back. He did it with a lot more carry. Some might say that that coach that was coaching him had a conspiracy and wanted my record broken and
really?
Maybe fed him the ball.
You think
little.
That was the most important thing to that coach?
I think it was a hop on his priority list, yeah. I was not well-liked, as you guys know. You know, I can rub people
You're
the
not well-liked now. So, Pete, you were lucky that you were able to transition from being a college football player and still stick around in the sport because you had the gift of gab and you were an excellent broadcaster.
Well, my average, what I was trying to say, is just much higher than Jordan.
Right, we got it.
Okay, yeah, we understand. We You're better it. Than Jordan. We got it. But my question is, do you have some sympathy for those athletes who have to walk away and leave it completely behind? And is that a hole in their heart for the rest of their life that they'll never be able to recapture the joy they felt in playing ball?
Deep. Wow, that's so deep. Well, there really is an answer to this. And the truth is, football as a sport, I mean, whether you're a coach or a player, and you can get pretty high and make a pretty great living, but most of those people are pissed. Most of those people retire pissed, and nobody's happy. Dan Marino just tried to sue the NFL.
I saw that.
Joe Montana doesn't like the NFL. He's been in a long fight with them. It does not end pretty, really, for anybody. There's a handful of guys like Michael Strahan, who won a Super Bowl and walked away, and he looks, I know him a little, he looks like he's in great shape and
right.
takes good care of himself. Jerome Bettis, you know, you think of, he walked away after winning. Elway, but he looks, I mean, Elway looks like, he looks like the 110 freeway in the 80s. I mean, he looked bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he really,
but
I mean,
you're throwing out names of guys who had incredibly long careers, successful
so
careers.
So then think of people like me, or just, you know, your average everyday football ditch digger, and they have even bigger grievances. I mean, it's just, it's not a pretty sport. So
there are a lot of 28-year-olds out there who feel like they're the greatest thing they'll ever be associated with is behind them, and they just
try
hate
22.
The fact.
Try 19.
Wow. And they just hate the fact that they've got another 60 years to do something that's not football, right?
Well, I mean, look, you have to have, I mean, we all have responsibility as adults, and we all did stuff when we were kids that we enjoyed. Football is not that type of sport. You know, it is not a sport where you can go, I mean, Clyde Drexler or Magic can still pick up a basketball and go play and have a good time. And
right.
you can still play softball or even adult league hardball if you're into it. You never play football again. You know, I'll never look through a face mask again. And I probably won't compete in much of anything physical anymore because I'll either get hurt or get in a fight because I'm violent and I'm broken. You know, so, I mean.
Broken mentally
yeah,
or
both.
Physically?
Yeah, a bunch of things.
A
you
lot.
Know.
Okay.
But the truth is, you know, nobody made us play football. Football was always part of my identity and our family's identity. You know, that might change with my kids, but, and it might change the way people are letting their kids play football. And I do have a concern because football football has become so big, especially the NFL.
It's the biggest in the country, right? By far?
By far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
the biggest form of entertainment in the country. I mean,
absolutely.
Not just sports.
Most popular thing on television,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It is this giant, nebulous, like, to me, pulsating pimple, almost. You know, because under it, you have all these different things. You have the livelihoods of the players, you know, their quality of life afterwards, you know, the concussion thing that the NFL's ignored for all this time. All these different things. And the fact that maybe people aren't going to let their kids play football the way they used to. I worry because it really does seem very top-heavy right now. And I think football's a great thing, and there's a lot of great things to learn from it. But there's a lot of rough things about it, too.
Yeah. You don't regret that you played, certainly, right?
It's kind of hard to say that because football's, you know, talking about football's how I make my living. My identity as a person was as a football player. My father, when I was a kid, used to move the furniture, and we would tackle. My older brother was just like carved out of a granite meathead.
Well, it's
like
just part of you. It's not either good or bad. It's just part of you.
Yeah, and that's what I try to tell people. People ask me about my football experience at USC, and I say, well, look, it was great, and it was horrible, too. I mean, it's a cauldron of all these different things, so you can't just say – you can't point your finger at football and say it's bad, but you also can't point your finger at it and say it's great. And what right. I don't like is just being misled. So if you want to spin it back to something current right now, USC football, their sanctions end tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
So all those sanctions, all that time, that ends tomorrow. So the LA Times this week put out like a two-part piece about all these different stories, about all these different people involved in the sanctions. And Pete Carroll had to open his big-chinned mouth and say one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard said. And I know he's built a ton of equity with success.
Yeah.
And he deserves that equity to a certain degree. But that doesn't mean you can speak nonsense. And Pete told the LA Times in an interview that he should not have done. But he told the LA Times that had he known that the sanctions were coming, he'd have stuck it out at USC.
Oh, please.
Well, first of all, and here's the overriding thing that's just...
Really?
He would have been fired, Kevin. Kevin, he would have been fired. Nobody survives. Yeah. Mike Garrett, the Heisman winner at USC, the AD for 18 years, was fired. I know Pete's great and he thinks of himself as a king. You were getting fired, Pete. I know that Seattle and they do the screaming bird calls for you and you go to the Tacoma Dome up there to see Kenny Chesney. You would have got fired at USC, okay? Those were draconian sanctions that basically your dealings with the NCAA brought upon the university. And you're going to sit there and say you would have stuck it out?
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff like that, just that stuff. I understand what football is. I just want people to be honest about it instead of
trying to spin things. Yeah, I didn't understand that at
things.
All. Because clearly he would have bared the some of the blame for being the head of the program for all that nonsense
so.
That went on.
Nobody survived. Newt Rockne gets fired.
Right.
If those
exactly.
sanctions come down. So that kind of stuff, you know, revisionist history, things of that nature, that's what bothers me about football, hypocrisy and stuff. But just on its face, if we're going to play football, hell, let's play football and make it look like football. I don't like all the rule changes too much.
Let me ask you one more football question since we wandered down this USC path.
Well,
we
got into it, man.
A break with the great Petros Papadakis here on the Kevin Bean Show. And that is, I saw a piece this week about how Reggie Bush doesn't exist at USC anymore. He's just been erased like one of those politicians in a Russian photograph.
Yeah, and that's partially USC's fault, too. I mean, Reggie Bush was a great player at USC. I mean, he was a product of great teams like Matt Leinart. I mean, guys like Lindale White. I mean, they and the O-line, they created Reggie Bush. But he was one of the most explosive college football players I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
But the truth is, look, I never had an issue with what Reggie Bush took. I mean, it was cheating. It was wrong. He knew it was wrong. He signed the letter of intent. But there's going to be a handful of players that you can't compensate at the college level because they just get too big. In today's day and age, with a 24-hour media, guys like Johnny Manziel, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Jameis Winston to a certain degree, they're just going to live above that, and they're going to be taken advantage of by the university. That's not why the rules exist. The rules exist to protect other people. That being said, he took what he took. That's fine. In the aftermath is when USC screwed up. They did not cooperate with the NCAA, which is not a court of law like the NBA. You see, the
right.
NBA is able to pretty much take the Clippers from Donald Sterling because it's not a real court of law. They have their own rules, and they're protected by them. The NCAA is the same way. So when USC wouldn't cooperate with them, they came down really hard on them. And USC, for all their power and all their glory, couldn't even deliver Reggie Bush to do an interview for the NCAA. They couldn't deliver his family to talk to the investigators. So there's a real chasm there. I mean, and he's kind of persona non grata. It's not really fair. It's not really right. But it just kind of is what it is because he didn't cooperate in the aftermath. And frankly,
right.
neither did USC.
But OJ's still in, though, right? They still
no,
like him.
He's not around.
Oh, OJ's out, too?
I'll tell you what. I was there the day he showed up in 2002. Well, but he was a free man in 2002, and USC was playing in the Orange Bowl. And they had just had a Heisman winner in Carson Palmer, you know, white guy from Orange County, big smile, just won the Heisman, feel-good story. And I was traveling with the team at that point. We were in Miami for the Orange Bowl. And guess who lives in Florida? Guess who showed up at practice?
Wow.
Did he have a knife?
I didn't check. His head is so – first of all, OJ can't walk. I mean, he doesn't walk. And second of all, his head is like the size of a 76 ball. I mean, it's the biggest head I've ever seen. And you just saw the USC people like, what do we do? Do we stop him from coming in? Do we let him in?
Yeah,
and
what do you do?
He just walked right out. And I was like, oh, my God, they're letting him in. They're letting him in. They're letting him in. And he just walked and nobody knew what to do. It was like way too big for anybody to do.
Well, I mean, he hadn't been convicted of anything at that point, right? He was a free man.
Yeah.
Civilly. And then Carson was walking off the field and here comes OJ, 5 yards on, smile, handshake, clap, click, 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 click,
sure.
Click, click, click. I was like, yeah, it's going to be a great day to the media.
Whatever that is, let's try to be a good guy.
Right.
Damn,
exactly.
The P is here. We'll take a quick break. More right after this on KFB. Comedian, actor, author, national anthem singer, our friend Rob Delaney joins us at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, we're filling time with P, Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio
Wait,
Show.
Dragging the lake of guests.
Wait, we're just
we've pulled Petros' body out like they pulled Katie Holmes' body out in The Gift.
Just wait until Delaney gets here.
Remember that? I like rented that movie like, hey, you're going to see Katie Holmes naked. Yeah. And then it's like a dead body Katie Holmes naked.
Yeah. By the way, this is why you subscribe to Mr. Skin, P, so you don't waste time fast-forwarding through bad
before
movies,
before I knew
okay?
Mr. Skin. I still had a video rental back then.
I wanted to ask you, in our remaining moments here with the P, NBA Finals, no one likes the Spurs, yet they're super good, right?
Well, I think there's a Frenchman. That hurts. There are a couple Frenchmen on the Spurs, and that doesn't help them. But everybody loves that Argentinian bald spot, the Manu Ginobili. I mean, look, I like the Spurs. I like to watch them. I like to watch their coach. And because, I mean, they're a lot like the Kings. I mean, they're just so resilient.
Take it easy.
But they are like the Kings year in and year out. You know, they really are. People count them out every year, and they are there. You know, like the Kings in these playoffs. They really are. They are that type of basketball team. But LeBron James is the best player that ever lived right now. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Wait. He can't be the best player that ever lived
right now. He's headed there. I mean, he's there's only one athlete that I really would generally see. You know me. I hate going places and seeing anybody. In fact, I've been here far too long today.
Yeah.
But
our listeners agree, by the way.
I will go watch LeBron James when he comes to town because I've never seen anything like it. And I'm not
just
a fan.
He's a bizarre specimen of a human being.
He explodes to the basket. Nobody's that big, that strong. And that unselfish, you know. I mean, we saw a selfish game of basketball that Michael Jordan basically branded and Kobe Bryant kind of duplicated in a more unlikable way for the Lakers for a long time. And watching this guy is just, it's very different. And I think it pisses Laker fans off. I think they hate that Tim Duncan might have a chance to win another championship and become a better generational player than Kobe maybe. And it's tough for Laker fans. They lose, Matt pointed this out, they lose either way.
Yeah.
These NBA finals.
What? He's such a
because all they care about is Kobe's legacy.
He's such a physical specimen, this LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
He's such a phenomenal, finely tuned athlete and has been since he was a teenager.
And a teammate, though, Bean. He's a teammate. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can jump.
Why can't he beat the cramps when other players seem to be able to do that?
Well, here's the thing. Nobody played more minutes in that game than LeBron James. Nobody out there is in better shape than LeBron James. Nobody out there has more expected of them on either side of the floor, defensively and offensively.
Right. Agreed.
Than
Absolutely.
LeBron James. But
if he stays in that last 5 minutes, they win.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you're probably right. But if your back and legs lock up as an athlete, if you know what that's like, and it's happened to a lot of people, and I was really pleased to see athletes come to his defense across the spectrum of sports and say, look, this happened to me at this, and it's happened to me personally.
And you can't do anything about it?
There's nothing you can do. I mean, look, you can maybe go get, if it's halftime, you can go get a bag, an IV bag, and maybe take a quinine shot or something. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff they do and get back out there. But the truth is, it wasn't halftime. You know, the clock's ticking.
Right.
And there's nothing you, if your back locks up, it's over, especially if you'd go out there and try to push it. What I was amazed at, that he went back out there in that game one, and his back is clearly locked up, his legs, he doesn't have them, and he still tries to explode to the basket, makes a layup, and then that was it. Because we had a guy on my team pass out like that, cramp up, it's like a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked him up and put him in a cart, and it was like picking up a 2x4.
Wow.
You know, that's and, you know, it's happened to a lot of athletes. So I don't think the criticism was fair. I mean, I know that he's had some moments where he doesn't perform great in the final minutes of games because he's not a selfish player. He's a pass-first guy. So all that's left up into interpretation and a lot of criticism. But the cramps thing I thought was total BS. And I'm
and
glad
no one
that he
felt
came out
worse than he did anyway.
Oh, I mean, you could see it on his face. You know, yeah. And look, there's guys from Texas out there. They play in the heat. There's European guys out there. They play through cigarette smoke, you know. And they really do.
They smoke while they play.
Yeah, I mean, they really do. But the truth is, LeBron James, he's probably been playing in an air-conditioned gym his entire life. He's a finely tuned his cover of Sports Illustrated in high school. You're in shape for the conditions that you're used to playing in.
Yeah.
And maybe that makes him a weenie. I don't know. But I thought he was heroic the way he came back and played.
And he's likely to still win the series anyway. I mean,
looks like it.
I would imagine Miami is going to repeat, right? All right, we have 60 seconds left. Any words of advice for my man Kevin here, who leaves in about 10 days for Brazil for the World Cup?
Protect your neck. Nothing's built.
Protect your neck.
You're going to be sleeping on a nothing's series of built? Cinder blocks.
Nothing is built?
I think it's like Sochi style, man. It's a bad deal.
Dude.
You're going to get your organs harvested. Are you going to?
It's funny.
But at least you come back.
You're going to see some ass, though. They're going to be ass.
Of all the things that people have told me, I have not yet heard that I'm going to get my organs harvested.
You heard about ass, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Brazil's pretty famous for that.
Yeah, like big ass.
Right. Do they have an organ harvesting ring? Is that a thing in Brazil where they literally just pull people into an alley and take their kidneys?
Here's what happens. Kevin's holding an American flag. He's drunk. He's screaming. He makes some friends that he doesn't know. Some guy named Jaul or Gilberto wakes up in a bathtub full of ice with a conspicuous giant scar, train track scar across his side.
Well, you'll have a hell of a story to tell forever, Kevin.
Somebody has a wildly successful FM spleen in Brazil.
Hey, at least in your scenario, I come back.
Have you been to a World
Cup?
I
win.
One out here, the fake one out here.
Yeah, so it wasn't really, when was that, 94 or something like that? I don't remember. But not a real one, no.
You know what else they have in Brazil?
What?
Needles. Just beds of needles.
Yeah. You mean on the beaches?
Yeah, just.
Yeah. Washing. You got to wear shoes on the beaches.
Like the Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Aqua socks. That makes you look cool.
Sure.
That's my father's advice. Whenever you go on vacation, my father calls me and says, like, you know, you think he's going to say, bring traveler's checks or something. Here's something very important you must learn. Aqua socks. It's like, Dad, I look like a total tool. They will save your feet.
Plus, nobody will look at you and size you up as having money either, so you're safe that way.
Yeah.
You dress like a hobo.
You get some sweet aqua socks, though, and some Brazilian chick with a giant ass just buried in a thong is going to run up on you.
The Petros and Money Radio Show airs weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Let's hear it for the P, guys.
Hey,
guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
Rob Delaney joins us after the top of the hour. In the meantime, we are filling in briefly for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat and free stuff for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 right now. Win a pair of season passes to Six Flags Magic Mountain. As you know, there's only a few days left for you to ride Batman the Ride and Colossus. They close down on June the 15th, so that's this week. Oh, my God, that's this week. So if you want to win the season passes to Six Flags, give us a call right now here on K-Rock, and you win.
I just did the story earlier today, and I love it so much just because of the names involved. Entertainment Tonight says rapper Lil' Kim had a baby.
Yeah. The
baby's name is Royal Reign, R-E-I-G-N, Royal Reign. Possible father's name is rapper Mr. Papers.
Good old Mr. Papers.
So you got Lil' Kim, you got Royal Reign, and you got Mr. Papers.
I love these names.
By the way, if I'm having sex with Lil' Kim, I'm Mr. Condom is who I am.
Yeah,
I'm
not, I would think so too.
Taking any chances. Speaking of having children, TMZ.com reports that Halle Berry has been fighting the financial arrangement with her ex-boyfriend, Gabrielle Aubrey, who's a model, of course. You know, we always talk about how sometimes these child custody and alimonies, things like that, are so unfair to the man. Well, you could argue that they're unfair to the person who makes all the money. And in this case, Halle Berry is the one making all the money. A judge has said that she must pay her ex-boyfriend $16,000 per month in child support. 16 grand a month, by the way, for a six-year-old. Right. Plus $115,000 in back payments. And here's the part that you guys will love the most. $300,000 for his attorney.
Oh,
she had to pay his attorney fees.
It's so funny. Anytime these child support cases go to trial, no matter how much the kid makes, the attorneys always make more, don't they?
Yeah, it seems to be the way it is, unfortunately. We heard earlier this morning as well that Michael Jackson supposedly, I don't know how many people bought Escape. I don't know if it was a huge hit. Do you know, Bean, the numbers on that?
It debuted fairly strong first week out. Michael Jackson fans went out and bought it by the tens of thousands, but then it just vanished after that. It didn't have any kind of staying power, so it's almost like the super fans were into it, but nobody else really cared that much.
An Epic Records executive named Rodney Jerkins says that Michael Jackson was the kind of guy who would... He would fully record 20 to 30 songs for every album and then pick the 10 best and put that out, which means basically he had another 20 finished songs per album. So this guy's saying there could be
dozens and dozens of Michael Jackson songs still unreleased.
This guy says there could be 7 or 8 more albums.
That's unbelievable.
I can't imagine they're all great. But I imagine some of them will be.
Right.
Yeah.
That disco song on his last album I thought was pretty good disco.
Was really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, there was a period of about 10 or 15 years where everything he did was great. So if he made 30 songs for Thriller, I bet those other songs are worth hearing, I would imagine. Speaking of new music, it is Tuesday. That's the day new releases are available for download. Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders has her first ever solo album out today. That's available to you. It is called Stockholm. The band First Aid Kit has a new record out today called Stay Gold. And the release of the week has got to be our friend Jack White. Lazaretto is what it's called. It's his second solo album. Don't forget, you can hear Jack White and our Breakfast With Thursday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Do you think he will be angry if I buy the CD?
I was thinking about that. I was actually thinking about talking to him about that when we do the interview, because most of the people in that room at the Red Bull Sound Space will have bought it digitally.
Right.
And that might infuriate him that we are listening to his music on MP3 and not on vinyl that we're playing backwards. I mean, it does seem like that's how he wants us to listen to all music, is backwards on vinyl, right?
Look, who are we to question a genius?
That's right.
But having said that, I don't have a record player.
Right, exactly.
I don't really know what you want me to do.
Well, don't say that in front of Jack White, man, because he's going to smack you. Today's celebrity birthdays, some hotties, including actress Gina Gershon, 52 years old today. Actress Elizabeth Hurley, who, for my money, doesn't work enough, by the way. She's not in enough movies. She's awesome. She is 49. Someone named Kate Upton is 22 years old today. Actress Lily Sobieski is 31, and some friends of the show, actor Shane West. Happy birthday, Shane. You are 36 years old today, as is our good friend DJ Qualls from Legit, one of the funniest guys on TV in a very unfairly canceled show. And the great Bill Burr turns 46 today, and that's the Showbiz Beat on. He might be our favorite national anthem singer ever, and oh yes, he's also a comedian and an actor and a best-selling author. He is our friend Rob Delaney, back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hey, Rob.
Hello, friends.
How you been, buddy?
Very well, thanks. And you?
Good. Last time, fine, thank you. Last time we had you in, I remember we were horribly uncomfortable that you were going to be appearing at the LA Times Festival of Books. And it seemed like, even to us, even knowing that you wrote a book, it still didn't seem like you should be allowed to call yourself an author somehow.
I agree wholeheartedly. I agree wholeheartedly. Basically, and I think at the same time that I spoke, the guy, John Green, who wrote this massive super hit that's now a movie, The Fault in Our Stars, was speaking like 2/10 over or whatever.
Somebody F'd you in that one.
I know. So
it was
like
Delaney against him.
The Rolling Stones with just exploding teen girls. Teen girls were exploding. They had to clean them up with garbage trucks. And
did anyone in your audience explode?
No one that I'm aware of. There was seepage, but no explosions.
So I've never been to that festival. I know they have authors of all sorts of different kinds of books. But were there people who were looking down their nose at you like you didn't deserve to be there because, hey, I wrote a physics book and that's why I'm here?
No, in fact, what I learned from writing a book is that the literary world is actually a lot more warm and inclusive, and they don't care. Plus, you can write anything, and there's books that are total garbage. And then there's masterpieces. Mine's somewhere in the middle, probably closer to the masterpiece side. I'll say it so you don't have to. And there's kids' books. I mean, there's the world of books is much more larger and vibrant than I thought. Because you hear, there's no books anymore. Why would you do that? You know. But if you have a bottle of lotion and a laptop, why would you need a book? But people still,
you gotta
people
do
still
something
read
after that.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that all day.
Right.
You can't fall immediately asleep. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, it sounds like it was a good experience for you then.
It was so great.
You also told us last time you were in that you were getting ready to, or you were just getting ready to do a pilot or had just done a pilot for a TV show in England. Now,
did
they accept you over there? They like you in England?
They did. They ordered it.
Because I thought you're the ugly American. Like, you're the last person I want sending over there to represent our country.
Well, they're an uglier people. So they're, it's kind of like how when a beautiful person from Kansas City comes here, it's like, oh, wait, I'm not that hot. So when I go over there, I mean, I'm not a 10, but, you know, I'm like a 7.5. So they, so I am accepted there. And they ordered our show. So my whole family, we're moving to London.
What?
Yeah.
Moving to London for how long?
Yeah, for at least 6 months to do one season.
6 months.
How old are your kids?
One is a year and a half and the other's 3.
All right, so they won't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not quite as disruptive as it would be had they been older for
exactly.
them. It would be terrifying for them if they were in school or something already.
That would be a total nightmare. Yeah.
I would imagine. Are you excited about it?
I'm very excited, yeah, because I write and produce the show with my partner, Sharon Horgan. So we, you know, so it's our baby, and mm-hmm. so we're beyond thrilled to get
so
to
you're
do
just
it.
Professionally, you're just excited because you love this project and you're happy to be able to make it, but are you also excited just culturally to be able to live in London and have access
really
to
am.
All those great cities in Europe?
I really am. Yeah, it's going to be great. And now you can take that. I don't know if you know this, but they recently built a tunnel that you can get on a train
what?
In London
mm-hmm.
and then use your lotion and laptop, and then you wake up and you wake up in Paris. So, and it's
by the way, you say you wake up as if it's a 14-hour trip. It's like a 2.5-hour trip.
I believe
it's astonishing how fast.
I think it's just under 5 hours, which is cool because you know you're city center to city center. You know, which is
that's amazing,
unreal.
Isn't it?
That's crazy. Yeah, you can get from here to. Almost to Blythe in that amount of time.
Almost.
Not quite.
Now, it used to be for many, many years, Americans would go to London and they would mm-hmm. say, the food is horrible. They've figured that one out now. They serve things that you can eat now.
I've been to London, I think, 5 times in the last year and a half doing stand-up, and the food there is ridiculous. And I say that I've lived in
ridiculously
Paris.
Good?
Ridiculously good. Oh. Yeah, it's gone. It's insane. I would say that the average restaurant is probably better than L.A. and maybe even New York.
Really?
It's
wow.
Beyond insane. Yeah, the food
And you
ridiculous.
Don't look like a guy who misses many meals either, so you know what you're talking about.
I know. Thank you for saying that. I know my wife is going to say, yeah, even they noticed. So anyway.
It's not just me.
You know, a friend of the show, Jimmy Kimmel, I told him I was going to London, and he said, well, here, you know what, I'll put together an email for you about restaurants that I like to go there. He sent me the longest email I've ever received in my life.
Yes.
And with
He's serious
itemized,
about that
it was
stuff.
It was unbelievable the amount of restaurants right. that were on there.
And you go, aren't you busy with other things?
Yeah. No, I just eat. And what's funny is I printed the email out, and I carry it with me, like, with my passport, and I check them off. I've been to, like, 11 restaurants that he sent me to, and they're all amazing. And I tell British people, I'm like, yo, no, I found it. And they're like, wow.
How about that?
So,
I swear, if Jimmy did not have a job in television, mm-hmm. if he weren't a born entertainer, there's no question he would want a job in food. He would be a chef. I think that's what he would be doing for a living.
Well, he is a chef.
Now, I've gone to his house for on Sunday for football games, and he stays in the kitchen the whole day.
It's insane.
He couldn't be happier.
Yeah, really.
Rob,
special.
What is your level of fame in London?
I would say it's the funny thing is people first ever heard of me because there's a guy named Graham Linehan who has a television show called The IT Crowd.
Okay.
And he's one of the first people of any stature to ever find out who I was. So I would say it's the same or maybe a little higher in London than it is here because this guy, Graham Linehan, he hired me right on a show of his.
1 to 10 it for us.
1 to 10? I would say a solid 2.16. Yeah. Really.
Come on.
Really low. I would
you
say
are
like
almost too big for your britches now.
Kind of like as important as like a low grade new STD. Like if they find it, like, oh, yeah. It won't kill you.
It's not very dangerous.
Yeah. All right. You gotta take a pill.
Once.
Now, is that a comfortable level of celebrity or would you prefer to be? Because I think you could get into more places and take advantage of your fame if you were more like a 5 or a 6, but it wouldn't be overwhelming to the point of.
I'm a bit of a shut-in, so I don't care about what happens when I'm out in the world. But we are at the point now where I get people send me books before they come out and albums before they come out.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, or like if I'm photographed wearing a certain sneaker, I'll get it in the mail. So that's
fantastic.
So for the private person, that's nice. But out in public, I don't really get bothered that much.
So two to three is where you want to be. Then this is right. This is right where you want to be.
That's my sweet spot. Yeah.
Okay.
So after the TV show airs, though. Like, you're going to be up to like 3.
I mean, I might even get pants in the mail at that point.
All right, Rob DeLady is here. We have to take a quick break. By the way, for folks who can't stick around for the hilarious part two of this interview, you can see Rob on your TV. Is your episode tonight airing?
Yes, sir.
Ryan?
Yeah, it is.
It is going to be airing tonight. We'll tell you more about that when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our guest is Rob DeLady here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the man who wrote these words last Saturday. I pooped at Best Buy, Taco Bell, and Home Depot today, so don't talk to me about this Triple Crown nonsense. So there you go. That's the reason. Rob DeLady. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob DeLady. Rob is also on the TV tonight. The show is called Riot. It airs Tuesday nights at 8 on Fox. I don't know too much about this, except I know Steve Carell's involved somehow. Rob, what's up?
Yeah, Steve Carell produces it, and it's a game show that involves improv. So basically, like, they'll put you in a flight suit, and when I say you, I mean me, and they'll hook a harness up to your back,
right,
and you have to play an improv game, and if you screw up, you'll get, like, yanked up to the ceiling 50 feet, like,
oh my God,
at 70 miles an hour.
Love it.
I almost cried during that. I moaned in fear so loud that they couldn't hear the other actors talking, because I was hanging from the ceiling being like,
Are you afraid of heights?
It's not that I'm afraid of heights, but I didn't know I had this fear, but it turns out if you hook me to a harness and then you immediately yank me up to a ceiling, I don't like it.
That seems troubling.
Yeah, I didn't know that I didn't like that.
And, right. But wait, hold on a sec. It's not like this is a game show where the answers are right or wrong. You said it was an improv comedy thing that you're doing,
correct,
right?
But they'll
So how do they decide when you're quote-unquote wrong, so they pull you to the ceiling?
If you're doing a scene where every line has to be like a movie that had Tom Hanks in it, for example, they'll do things like that.
Gotcha.
So if you say one, if you like can't think, or if you screw up and you're like, the chicken man, and they're like, that's not a movie, then they yank you up to the ceiling. So
I think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. So, and that's not the only one. It's not just yank them ups. I mean, but they also, you have to do like improvise in total darkness. They put you in like a tomb situation and you have to act. And there's all these.
None of this is conducive to comedy, Rob.
I think the big thing is people are getting hurt and they're afraid. And so when you get to see people.
And that's good, right?
Yeah. Like there's, you know, that happens to Steve Carell, Cheryl Hines, Michael Ian Black, myself, all these people. So.
Did you know about the show before they approached you? Did you go to them? How did
they work? I did. They sent me some examples of some stuff. They have one thing where you are basically just improvising whatever, doing whatever you want, but they tilt the floor to like 20 degrees or something, which scientifically apparently is the highest grade that a human being can still stand on without falling down.
Okay.
And then they tilt the camera so it looks like you're just on flat ground.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But the viewers are like, why can't anyone walk or function? And that one's terrifying. The producers were like, next we're going to have you go on that. And I was like, so I'm not going to do that. And they're like, you're not going to do the next part of the show? And I said, no. And so, but David Arquette did it. He was there, and he was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I watched.
Did that make you want to feel like you should do it? Did you feel like
no,
you were
not at
America
all.
Down?
I was so afraid that it trumped everything. If they were like, well, you're not going to be in show business anymore, then I would be like, well, at least I didn't have to go on that crazy thing. So now, that said, it was very fun, and the product that is produced is this very fun, watchable show, but there are parts of it where you're enjoying it because I was so afraid.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's fun for us, the viewer, not so much fun for you, the doer. Is what it sounds like.
Well, no, a lot of it was fun.
And great guests, including Andy Dick, Orlando Jones. You mentioned Michael Ian Black, Tom Green, Chris Kattan. I mean, it's a lot of great people, funny people on the show. It's called Riot, Tuesday nights at 8 on Fox. By the way, I wanted to ask you this, because you were telling us that you are in a cave right now writing your TV show for British TV right now. When you're sitting down and writing a show, is it difficult to not be influenced by other shows that you know and love and watch?
If you find that happening, which it can, you just brutally cut it out. You know, it's like if you put on an outfit and you're like, realize you had on a Michael Jackson glove, you just cut off your hand. You know? And
can't you just take the glove off?
Oh, yeah, you could do that too. But I'm Catholic, so I like to punish myself.
All right.
You just have to be aware of that. You just have to be aware, and you have to make sure that the thing that you're writing is something that nobody else could write, and you write multiple drafts. I've given myself the permission to write first drafts that are utter garbage.
Right.
And then you build an I'm working with a partner who's amazing,
Morgan. Is that the biggest difficulty, is sitting down and trying to write a finished product? I mean, a lot of people will sort of look at it that way. In reality, you got to go through.
You got
to
give yourself a first draft.
Yeah,
got
you
to.
Have to give yourself the freedom. So earlier in the stage when we were writing the earliest episodes, on Mondays, because we would write roughly a draft a week, Mondays I would be like, I'm never going to be funny again. I deserve to be hit by 5 cars. And then like Tuesday I'd be like, maybe there was one funny syllable.
Okay.
And then like Wednesday I'm like, oh, we're getting there. And then by Friday I'm like,
got a word.
When the world sees this, statues will be built. So, and then back to Monday, and you just want to punch yourself in the...
Now, do you ever
reproductive organs again.
Put the pressure on yourself by tilting the floor to a 20-degree angle. Because well, that's what's missing
I
from
should,
the adventure.
Yeah, put on a Velcro flight suit.
Is it different for you to write a show for British TV with their sense of humor? Is their sense of humor different than ours?
Well, you can on a major network over there say filthy, filthy words.
Oh, you can?
And I show my bare buttocks in the first episode.
Whoa. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, great. We were going to watch, too, Lisa, Rob. Thanks.
That'll be blurred out when they show it here.
You can put boobies in on British TV, though.
I think that you can, yeah. We haven't put any boobs in yet, but we should.
Well, Bean's use of the word was booby.
Oh, like a singular booby. Oh, a booby, yeah. A human booby.
Is it a miracle, though, now that you've sit down and you kind of put yourself on this schedule of trying to write basically an episode a week?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing, for all the grief it takes, that Saturday Night Live hits as much as it does when you consider that they are literally starting from a blank page every week?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they better be able to. I mean, not that – yes, it is, but shame on them if they can't because
– because they have so many people.
Yeah, and I'm less sympathetic now to, like, big writers' rooms since I'm writing this with one other person every single episode. So I'm a little bit like, well, they better be
able
to.
So when you look at Veep or something and they've got 9 writers, you're like, hey, you should be able to do 30 minutes between you, right?
It's amazing and wonderful, and I am in awe when I watch it. That is true. And then also, yes, they should be able to do that. People of that pedigree and that pay grade, they better be able to do that, and they can. So it's not they're amazing, and if they're not, then shame on them.
Do you go back? I'm sorry, go ahead, Dean.
I was just going to say, it's so interesting to hear your perspective as a guy who's been a writer for a long time to kind of now see how the sausage is made now that you're doing a TV show yourself. It's interesting to see your thoughts on it.
You're making sausage?
Yeah, there's a lot of sausage. Well, we're writing on, flattened out sausage casing is what we write on. Yeah, that's a British thing.
We're almost out of time, Rob. When the show comes out in England, does that mean anything to us here in America? Is there going to be a way to see it or no?
It will be visible here. I don't know where yet, but yeah, in the UK, it's on Channel 4, which is a big network over there. Mm-hmm. And then over here, it will be shown, but I don't know where yet. We're still working on it.
Because we need to get ourselves some of your bare ass.
Yeah, thank you.
We certainly do.
Thanks. Private showings, not enough, I know.
You had us at bare ass. All right, the great Rob Delaney. See him on the TV show Riot tonight at 8. That show airs Tuesday nights at 8 on Fox, and you can follow him on Twitter and should at Rob Delaney. Hey, cheerio and hip hip and all that, and have a spot of tea, and we'll see you when you get back, buddy.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
I only heard the last 1 second of that. Are we playing Foo Fighters? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, that was learning to...
Can't wait for that Dave Grohl TV show on HBO.
That is going to be good.
Yeah.
He's endlessly entertaining. Such a smart guy, such a music lover, and I love the premise of that show. I can't wait for it to debut.
Not just a music lover, but a lover in general.
He is indeed. Ralph will be back tomorrow, by the way. The reason he's not here today is because The Best of the Wiggles came out on DVD, so he's standing in line right now someplace for The Best of the Wiggles, because apparently that rules at his house. But he'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, we are filling in with the Showbiz Beat, continuing to keep a close eye on comedian Tracy Morgan. There were reports yesterday after the terrible car accident that he was in over the weekend on the New Jersey Turnpike that they may have to amputate his leg. And thank God that's not going to happen. Although he still has some very serious injuries. I mean, I was a little bit surprised to hear, even with the broken bones, including a femur, that he was going to be in the hospital for weeks. Seems to me like with broken bones that once you set them and you put a cast on or whatever, you should be able to get up and get around. But no, I guess.
I don't know a lot about
it. I don't know either, but it must mean he needs follow-up surgery. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so. It sounds very serious. And we all hate the man, Kevin Roper, who was driving the Walmart truck that caused the accident. Or so we think. He is speaking out, by the way. And this is very unusual for somebody in his situation to be speaking out, particularly since he works for a big company, Walmart. You would think that they would be clamping down on him from talking. Wait till the facts come out. Wait till there's a trial or something like that. But he says he is being skewered because a celebrity was hurt in the accident. He says he feels horrible. He wished that it was me that got hurt instead of the people in the car. And obviously someone was killed in the car as well. But he says all this bad press about him is because the press is trying to find a scapegoat because a famous person is involved. According to TMZ.com, he says, I was never charged at the scene of the accident because I am not guilty of any crime. It wasn't until all the TV cameras came, .. I don't know what the rest of that sentence was going to be. But he claims that he was not negligent. He was not awake for 24 hours, as some media were reporting yesterday. He's not responsible for the crash, not at fault at all. And he says, I'm effed right now because I had an unfortunate accident with the wrong car that night. I mean, he's back in court today, so I guess we'll see what the investigation says. But, I mean, we all certainly are looking for some answers as to what caused the crash.
Well, yeah, there will be an investigation, so they'll figure it out.
One Direction, thank God they've got a new product out. They are releasing another new fragrance.
Oh, yay.
They've already had one fragrance. I don't know how five people release a fragrance, by the way.
At least with a little bit of all of them,
Katy
I guess.
Katy Perry, you feel like, okay, I'd like to smell like her. But all five of them, and they say the entire band, and this is a quote, has worked really hard on this new fragrance.
Does it say what it smells like? Sometimes they give a list of what the ingredients are.
It does not say anything about that. Were you
just teenage boy
joke?
Sweat, I guess,
yeah,
basically? No, no, it wasn't. But usually, you know, they always talk about how it's, you know.
A hint of apple?
Yeah, whatever it is that they put in it. I guess this is a stupid thing to say, but doesn't it seem like there are enough perfumes in the world?
Here's the thing about perfumes. If they're successful, like how much did, somebody made $100 million on a perfume that wasn't that big of a star.
Yeah.
Right.
I think if they're successful, which probably One Direction will be, they can cash in.
Yeah. I guess. I just can't imagine that there's not plenty of fragrances out there for people who want to go out and find a perfume. Like, why do they have to keep making new ones? But I guess it's just brand extension.
They want that money.
They want the money, I guess.
Oh,
yeah.
One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am all over myself. It is One Direction.
Muggs is excited. He clearly is going to be in line to buy it. I thought this was an interesting article. With all the press this year about how much money the Kim Kardashian-Kanye West wedding cost and how crazy, crazy expensive. And let's face it, most people's weddings don't involve a pre-party in Paris and then an actual wedding in Italy. And I mean, they looked for ways to spend crazy money. The average cost of a wedding in the United States now is almost $30,000.
$30,000.
That doesn't include the honeymoon, by the way. That's just for the wedding itself. 13% of brides spend more than $40,000 on their wedding. This is an interesting list about the average costs of wedding. The most expensive wedding location is New York City, where the average wedding in New York City, are you guys ready? $76,000.
Wow.
That's a house.
Well, not least here, expensive but wedding location is Alaska, where the average wedding cost about $15,000. Here's some of the breakdown fees. And Kevin, I know you have some theories about weddings.
Oh, they're total ripoff industries. Go ahead.
Wedding event planner average cost around $2,300. That's for the person who helps you plan the thing, I guess, and tells you what to do. Renting the ceremony site, about $1,700. Reception venue. Now, this is the one that really surprised me. $13,000 to rent a reception venue.
Wow.
Just to rent the place?
Don't you just get a room at the Sportsman's Lodge and call it a day? How could it cost $13,000 for a reception venue? What kinds of places are people renting?
I'm not sure that is the place, the romantic place that women are looking for. I'm not sure that'll work.
Lisa, you've been to a lot of weddings. You have friends that are girls. Where are they holding their receptions? I mean, is this at the Beverly Hills Hotel at a ballroom there
or
something?
Well, my friends don't do that, so I don't know. But I don't know where they hold them. Yeah, I guess sometimes they're in hotels, actually. But I wouldn't think a room would cost $13,000 unless it was.
I was surprised by this. Let me just zip through a couple of these other, because it all adds up. Reception band, $3,000. Reception DJ, $1,000. Photographer, $2,400. Videographer, $1,600. Wedding gown, $1,200. That's the only one that seemed a little bit low to me.
Yeah, actually.
Compared to a lot of the dresses that I've seen. Flowers, $2,000. Invitations, $500. Wedding cake, $500. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Things like favors, whatever those are, $300. The rehearsal dinner, $1,100. The engagement ring, average cost, $5,431 for an engagement ring. So I guess it all adds up. But it's just, I mean, you mentioned it's a house, Kevin. I bet there are an awful lot of these couples that are getting married that are spending, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $40,000 for a wedding and then get home after the honeymoon and go, wow, we're broke. We are barely scraping by. Wish we'd have saved a little bit of that money, but that's just not how people do it. I mean, people blow it out.
You know what, though? I really think the industry is built around the idea that women plan their first wedding and they don't realize it's their first wedding their whole lives.
And so when it's too much money, they go, but it's my wedding.
Yeah.
So you go, okay, well, then we'll spend $13,000 for this. But it's my wedding.
Realistically, most of those people will be getting married a second time,
agreed,
too, right?
Yeah. But I don't think you can convince them of that.
Yeah, exactly.
New CDs out today. You got your Jack White, Lazaretto. You have new DVDs out today, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, starring Chris Pine. And TV on DVD, you got Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey from Seth MacFarlane. And also Ray Donovan Season 1 and Resurrection Season 1 as well.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Gina Gershon turns 52 years old today. Actress Elizabeth Hurley, she is 49. Friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, the great Bill Burr, comedian and actor, is 46 years old today. Actor Shane West, who stopped by the show recently, 36 years old today. The great DJ Qualls from Legit is 36 as well. Lily Sobieski turns 31. And the reason we celebrate today, it's Kate Upton's birthday, you guys. Yay! Although, she's a little long in the tooth for Kevin now.
How maybe dare you?
He may start to turn on her now that she's 22, because there must be some younger girls out there he can look at. But model Kate Upton turns 22 years old today. Ralph will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, that's the K-Rock Show Biz Beat.
Kate Upton. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Ashley Escado from CNET. I believe I said that correct.
All right.
I'm not positive, but I think so. Kevin's Trailer Park tomorrow, Relationship Deal Breakers. We have, I don't know, a little fella by the name of Doto, who went out and did some interviews on the street.
Can't wait for those. So excited to hear that.
We've got that tomorrow. He wants to make
why
it
not,
show
Dean?
Biz.
This is America.
That's right. And also Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage, tomorrow morning on All New.